about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. The fuse has already been lit. The lion has spotted the gazelle. The doo-doo is already mid-flight to the fan. The silly hounds have been released. I repeat, the silly hounds have been released.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Well, I, for one, commend Mexifornia for trying to do something about immigration. It's about time this country stood up to defend its sovereignty. Here, for the liberal point of view, is a 4-year-old girl.
I think people should be nice.
Shut up!
You're scaring me.
You should be scared of Mexicans!
Amen, brother. Angry yelling is the voice of reason.
I don't get high, man. But I'd still like to know, where are we at?
Anyway, let's check it out. Let's check it out together. Here we go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hurry up, Santa Claus.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Would you like to take that back?
Roll another one.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Just like the other.
It's stupid.
What's stupid?
The whole thing.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This is not my kind of car.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Anyone can be a racist.
Roll.
Roll.
It, it's crap.
I don't have another cent.
I'm here. I'm an asshole. Get used to it, you Mexican rapist losers.
I think we're getting caught up in the details.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, my boyfriend's back.
And now.
No, it's good, you know? I mean, sure, I'm depressed, and I'm constantly sick, and nothing really brings me joy, but it just feels right.
Our feature presentation.
Indeed, indeed. Welcome in to another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a glorious Friday morning. Hey, Allie McKay.
Oh, Bean, do you feel it?
What am I feeling?
Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, the first, I don't know if this has been your experience, but for me, the first week back after, especially the holiday break, feels like a month.
Yes, the longest week ever.
It is the longest week ever. Yes. I know it's just 5 days, but it feels like 20 to 30 days.
Well, smart people take at least a couple days off that first
week
back.
Yeah, we should have learned something from our leader, the monkey, that's for sure. These 5-day weeks are for losers.
Totally.
But we'll press on and do what we do. How are you? Anything exciting in your life?
Have you met me? No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Not so much. How about you?
I'm excited about your friend, man buying lottery tickets in Las Vegas. I'm excited about him.
It's great.
I think we need a little of that audio.
Absolutely.
He's your new favorite person.
Yeah. He's the hero now, we didn't know we needed.
You mentioned yesterday. Yesterday at this time we were talking about the lottery and all of our plans for winning the lottery. And then I think at one point you also said, "Well, get used to a couple of days of people on the news being interviewed, standing in line to buy lottery tickets." Mm-hmm. And I understand the thinking behind this from the news organization's point of view, which is, well, it's a big story. It's a it's a $700-800 million jackpot, whatever it's going to end up being tomorrow night. People are interested in it. So I guess we got to do something. But the thing that they got to do and that they do every time and what you were kind of making fun of is the exact same story every single time.
Every
multiple
time.
Times a year, year after year after year, they go to a place and they, hey, what are you going to do with the money? Hey, you know the odds aren't very good you're going to win. hey, how'd you pick your numbers? I mean, all stuff that everyone either already knows or doesn't care about.
Yeah, there will never be a different answer.
Right.
Or will there?
Well, there was in this case. But there also will never be – we will never – here's the thing. Hear my whole thing.
Okay.
I will never watch a news story on the lottery of them interviewing people in line and learn something that I didn't know before.
Right.
It does not help me – if I'm a viewer and I'm tuning into the news to learn something, to watch the news –
well, that's your first mistake.
a better sense of what's going on in the world in which I live. I'm not going to get it from that piece.
Mm-mm.
So in my mind, it's infuriating. Because
yeah.
it's a colossal waste of time. It's just, hey, let's fill 3 minutes on the news talking about a thing that's boring, that doesn't help anybody.
It's exactly what it is. It's filler.
It's
that's
just,
it.
It's absolutely filler. So we go to Channel 5, and I know how excited you were about this yesterday. This is in Las Vegas, and they are at a place where people are lined up. And I guess I didn't see the throw to the reporter on the scene, but I guess it's a location, I imagine, where somebody mm-hmm. had bought a winning ticket in the past, and that's why. And by the way, look. Just because a place has sold a winning ticket before, it doesn't have any more chance of selling another one.
But that's 10 seconds that you just filled right there saying people have won at this location.
Right, but don't go to that location and wait in a 40, you know, a 4-hour line to buy a ticket when it, you can buy the exact same ticket someplace else. Everything about this is I'm now getting angry. So here she is on the scene in Las Vegas at the convenience store.
Lines are not only going in and out in the inside of the store, but when we got here, it went around the building and then made a U in the parking lot. They say at noon, it was even longer. The wait was 2 hours and 30 minutes long. So quite some excitement over here and a lot of people standing in line.
Oh, there's a lot of excitement there, it sounds like. By the way, listen to how excited this lady is. Do you think she's really into this, or is there TV fakery going on, Allie?
She was adorable, first of all, just cute as a button reporter. But yeah, you're talking to people that, A, don't want to talk to you at all in that line. There's no excitement in that line. They're miserable, and they don't want to talk to you. So she's taking it all in, and she's putting out so much excitement for the viewer.
It's a boring chore for these people in the convenience store to have to wait in this line to buy a ticket, right?
Absolutely.
I asked them what they were going to do with the money. A lot of them said, give them to friends, give them to money, give them to charity. All answers that I like, you know, put them in the savings.
Again,
I know.
What are you going to do with the money is a ridiculous question because it's $1 billion. You know what I'm going to do with the money? Everything. I'm going to do the Yeah, I'm going to buy a house. Yeah, I'm going to give some to my parents. Yeah, I'm going to give some away. Yeah, I'm going to blow some. I mean, isn't that every human's answer for what they're going to do with the money? What does she expect people to say?
Well, Bean, you're getting angry.
I am.
And I understand that.
Okay.
But it's all going to come right around for you.
Okay.
We're here at the line where people are doing it the old-fashioned way. They're just filling out bubbles here. I want to turn some of these people around and ask you guys, sir, can I ask you what your lucky numbers are?
I'm going to pick 14, 24, 2, 7, and 15.
All right. May I ask why that's a good question?
It's not.
What are your lucky numbers? What am I supposed to do with this information?
Oh, my God. Those are mine, too.
Why do I care what his lucky numbers are? And if those numbers were lucky, he would have already won the goddamn lottery and he wouldn't be standing in this store. Right? How lucky can these numbers be?
Wow.
And there's no follow-up on that. Why are they your lucky numbers? Have they ever won anything for you before? Then they're not your lucky numbers. Sit down! That's what I want to hear her say. But that's not what she's saying. All right, let's hear some more.
Those are your lucky numbers. Can I tell you what? Do you know your chances of winning?
By the way, those are your lucky numbers is what she repeated back
well,
to him. After
yeah.
he just answered the question, mm-hmm. what are your lucky numbers? That's what she said back to him. Good use of time. All right, do you know what the odds are? Is there anyone in that line who doesn't know the odds are long to win the lottery?
No.
Good question, then.
Slim to none.
Slim to none. You're right. Let me tell you, it's one out of 292 million. What do you think about that?
And what does she want him to do with that information? Now get out of line? This is BS, man. I didn't know that. I thought I put in a dollar and I win 100 million. What does she want him to do with that? I hate everybody involved in this story.
I knew it.
You knew it. Your numbers are lucky, though. Am I right? Can I ask you, if you won all the money, what would you do with it?
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Oh, okay, that's not good. We were hoping for a different answer. That's probably not the answer that we're looking for.
Why? That's the only thing that's been interesting in this entire story.
We were hoping for a different answer, one that we've heard for years. But thank you, sir, for giving the best one ever, is what I would have said, and then I would have kissed him right on the mouth.
And he would have earned it. The hooker, finally, someone is honest. It says hookers and cocaine is what I'm going to spend the money with.
All right, you guys, I did speak to some people earlier that said, you know, this line is long, but waiting in it was worth it because it's at least worth all the memories. Why is the jackpot so big? Well,
why is it worth memories? All the memories? What memories are you getting from this? Why does this woman say so many dumb things?
Oh,
what memories?
Spirit.
Why is the jackpot so big? I don't know. Nobody's won it in 3 months. Maybe that's what... Tell me something I don't know, lady.
Nobody has won since November 4th. And if you don't win this time either, if nobody wins this time, there's always the drawing this Saturday, you guys.
Wait, what?
Wait.
If nobody wins this time, there's always the drawing Saturday? That's
but
when
that's
the drawing
the
is.
That's the drawing.
So. She fell apart at the end.
She was flustered. All that cocaine and hooker talk.
I think so. I think it was too much for her. All right, so good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Bean Show. What do you say?
I'd bake a cake if that didn't reinforce gender roles and prop up big gluten.
Well, that is an actual problem. Got a big show for you today. It is Friday. That means two things we always look forward to. Ralph Garman will be here with the movie beat. Also, we'll talk to our friend RJ Bell for the first time in 2016. Find out what he's thinking about the first weekend of the NFL playoffs. Golden Globes are Sunday night. Our friend Michael Schneider, editor from TV Guide, is going to be here with a preview of that. Plus, we'll talk about some of the other awesome new TV shows. This seems like a big week, by the way. It seems like every night there's something new debuting on TV. And as usual, very tough to keep up with all of them, so Mike will help guide us through that. We'll go out to Las Vegas and talk to our friend Ashley Escada from CNET. She is going to be reporting from the CES. And we've got another chance for you to win that ultimate prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Great trip. 3 days in the snow, hotel, airfare, lift tickets, the whole deal. You can win that. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat next right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Friday morning on the World Famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Know your odds are winning the lottery?
I've heard they're long.
I'm not sure if you know or not.
How'd you like that interview? That
what are your lucky numbers?
Right? These are important questions that need to be asked and put on the news instead of telling me what's going on in the world.
Those are your lucky numbers?
I can't even.
Wasn't it worth it, though, to hear how mad he got?
It was kind of fun, actually, yeah. Bean has no time for foolishness, that's for sure. That's one thing we've learned.
Plus, if anybody's having fun, I need to stamp that out immediately.
That's right, yes. Let's start the showbiz beat, shall we?
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for Chip to hit the music. I didn't know what the holdup
was.
Well,
usually you do a little intro or whatever and say, what's going on showbiz news or whatever.
Well, I already said, hi, what's up?
All right.
I'm into it, man.
Chip's just trying to be helpful, that's all.
I'm like Tila Tequila. I'm so far ahead of you right now that you don't even know, man.
That's
you can't
true.
Even speak my language.
You're very much like Tila Tequila in my eyes. As you were doing that thing about that live broadcast with that woman who's trying to fill time talking about the lottery, I couldn't help but think about the rankings this year of the top 10 most stressful jobs in the world. CareerCast has ranked 200 different positions to determine which careers are the most stressful to have. And here's their result, the top 10 most stressful jobs. Taxi driver is 10th. I would think that would be higher. That would be awful. I would hate to be a taxi driver.
It drives
me nuts. Especially in a major metropolitan area like New York or Vegas. I feel bad for those guys. Newspaper reporter, 9th. Well, sure, because your job's going to not exist in about a month. Broadcaster, 8th. See, people, feel bad for us. That poor woman there getting the lottery story, stressful job. 8th stressful job in the world, what she was doing. 8th. It's hard. Stressful.
Okay.
You don't get
what
it.
What is your actual guess as to why that's on the list? That one surprised me as being on a top 10 most stressful jobs list.
Well, they say all of the high stress professions have at least two things in common. There's always some sort of deadline, pressure, interacting with the public.
Okay.
So, I guess, you know, deadlines, if you're a broadcaster, dealing with the public, being live has a certain amount of pressure that comes with it.
Senior and, performance, you know, stress, anxiety of not getting fired due to ratings and whatnot, I guess, is part of that.
Senior corporate executive was seventh. Really? Really? Is that stressful? Public relations executive was sixth. Event coordinator, fifth. Police officer was fourth. Airline pilot was third. I would think that would be higher on the list. Number two, firefighter. When you're at work, when you actually do the job, it's got to be the worst job in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have nothing but admiration for those guys who go out there and, you know, sure, they sit around the firehouse sometimes for long periods of time. But when the bell rings, when the job's on the line, what could be worse?
Yeah.
And more
stressful. They're running into a burning building.
Right.
Everyone's worst nightmare.
And number one, most stressful job? Working with Bean.
Oh.
Working with Bean, number one. Can you
dare you?
What are the odds? Well, I know what the odds are. 100%.
How dare you?
Working with Bean and enlisted military personnel. Also. being in the military. So there's that.
Interesting that being the President of the United States isn't on that job.
Well, I guess this is a list of jobs that more than one person has, Bean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not much of a survey if you're tailoring it towards individual people.
Just seems like a stressful job with a lot of responsibility.
Ralph's poop in the morning is stressful. I'd put that on the list. That would be good just for one, just for me, just dealing with that issue. What's wrong with you?
Well, I don't know.
You really
know.
Wanted to rank a job that 46 people have had ever?
All right, that's a fair comment.
Is it?
I think so.
See why you're number one? See why working with Bean is number one?
I'm also going to say I thought surgeons should be on that list ahead of a lot of those things, too. Talk about a stressful life or death situation, Joe. Yeah. I don't like that list. I'm against it.
I thought air traffic control would be up there, too.
Yeah, even more than a pilot, I think.
Really?
We reject your list, Ralph, is what we're saying.
Tell CareerCast how you feel, because I have had an ass full of both of you.
Will do.
Good news. Oh, everyone can relax. Please, please sit down. Put down your pitchforks and your torches. Hasbro has announced that they will be including the female character of Rey from The Force Awakens on their new Monopoly Star Wars game set. They're happy to announce it. All is well. Remain calm. Fans apparently were extremely disappointed when somehow the news broke that the company had left the character out of the game board. And the Twitterverse just exploded with hashtag Where's Rey.
Rightfully so, by the way, in this case.
Well, how did the story break? First of all, this is ridiculous. It's a game. Stop it.
But
second of all, how did the story break? How did everyone get all upset about it?
Because I think they got the game.
No, it doesn't come out until later this year. Does not release until later this year.
Then that makes no sense, because the original thing was, we didn't want Rey to be in it because that's a spoiler that she had this huge role. That's what Hasbro had originally said. And people were like, we kind of knew she had a big role by the commercials and the posters and the fact that Darth Vader is one of the game pieces. And Darth Vader isn't even in The Force Awakens.
Or is he? Spoilers.
Oh.
Nice work, Allie.
Apologies.
His melted face is in it.
Well, true.
Maybe they'll redo a new version for later this year and give everyone the Rey version. It's just the stuff people get upset about. Look, I understand. I like Rey. She's good. She's a nice lady, I guess. I'll send her a card. But really, does everyone have to get upset about it?
She should have been in there.
Of course. She was a character. Okay. Do you think people are assuming it's some sort of anti-woman stand? Is that what it is? It's we don't like women. Hasbro doesn't like women.
Hasbro
that's why
hates
doing
women.
It.
Okay. I have said it for years.
Well, that's a reasonable extrapolation from what happened, I think. And this is exciting news. Politics and show business are going to cross paths. It's really getting to be like the politicians now are promoting a movie rather than running for office.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton has just booked her most recent appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon next Thursday night on January 14th, the very same day as the next Republican debate. See what they did there? It's counter-programming. Mm. So that debate will be on the Fox Business Network. And Hillary will be on Jimmy Fallon. So you can... If you haven't had a fill of politics yet, you can do that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Stephen Hawking. He's 74 years old today. Robbie Krieger, Doors guitarist. He turns 70. R. Kelly's 49 years old today. Hey, R., where's those trapped in the closet chapters? Where we need more of those. He promised more of them.
That's right. Over the holidays, did you see the very contentious interview that he did on HuffPost Live where he ended up getting up, taking off his mic and walking away,
Ralph? I did not.
That's amazing.
What was he upset about?
Well, he's there to promote his record, and of course, every time he does an interview, somebody brings up, you know, all the little girls he had sex with, and he's just, that's not what he's there for.
No,
he gets up and walks out.
Yeah.
I mean, he shouldn't have to talk about that. That's in the past.
It is. Right. Come on.
I paid those girls off. Come on. That story went away.
Did he pee on the interviewer to show his displeasure?
He would have done that right before he left.
Actress Sarah Polley's 37. Actress Gabby Hoffman, who's just crushing it over there on Transparent.
So
she's 34 years old today. And our good friend and legendary pop icon, David Bowie, celebrates his 69th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of stuff there. That guy doesn't know why. I'll tell you that.
That's
a lot of complaints. Hey, K-Rock presents Coachella at the Empire Polo Fields, as you know by now, completely sold out. Two big weekends in April with everybody from the LCD Sound System to Foles, Guns N' Roses, of course, Churches, Halsey, The Vandals, Matt and Kim, Cold War Kids. The list goes on and on and on. It's still a little bit away. You got a few weeks to go before the actual festival, but we are giving away tickets. You should go to KROQ.com for all the information and a chance to win your 3-day passes for Coachella 2016. It is Friday morning. I feel like it's been a million years, Ralph, since we had a movie beat. And I'm very curious to see what you've got for us today because January can be pretty hit or miss. So let's see what's happening in the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
Uh-oh.
What's that mean?
Means we're in the Death Valley days of moviedom. Here's the thing. All the movies that want to be considered for Oscar consideration and stuff, they all happen in the fall, winter time, and then you have your Christmas blockbusters trying to cash in, and then January rolls around. And they're shooting blanks over there at the studios.
But I thought, Ralph, much like they have done with TV to turn that into a 12-month experience, debuting new shows all the time, I thought movies had rejiggered the calendar quite a bit, where now summer blockbusters opening in March, you know, and things like that. I thought that they were kind of filling in the gaps a little bit.
Well, maybe March we'll have some blockbusters. No, we don't have them this week.
All right.
You've got, The Revenant. Is expanding into more theaters this weekend.
And most people probably haven't seen that yet.
So that's an option, although we have discussed that film already. Hateful
Eight.
That's
the bear rape movie, right?
That's right. Leonardo DiCaprio has sex with a bear. You got Hateful Eight, the Tarantino film, I think is going wider as well this weekend. But in terms of new movies, just a couple, really, of interest. One starring the lovely and talented Natalie Dormer, who many people know, of course, from Game of Thrones. I first discovered her during the Tudors that I watched on Showtime, which I loved, about Henry VIII. She played Anne Boleyn in that series. In this film, she plays a young woman searching for her twin sister in a Japanese forest, as you do, only to be surrounded by paranormal forces.
Oh, no.
Right? Do you hate when that happens?
Yeah.
Here's some clips from The Forest.
Your sister went into Aokigahara Forest. It's where lost people go to commit suicide.
The forest is very dangerous. Do not leave the path.
Oh my God, that's our tent.
Yes!
Yes!
At night, people see bad things.
And this is why we need Mystery Science Theater 3000 to return. This is the reason. See, it's where people go. Commit suicide.
You're suggesting this movie won't be good.
It's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
Why would you have a tent if you were going to commit suicide?
Because you want to be comfortable, Allie.
It's just
in your
weird.
Last hours, don't you?
I feel like you just go and do it. You
don't
wouldn't
apply
really set
logic.
Up a... Okay.
I love that trailer, by the way. It sounds like old-time Japanese horror movies. you know, like the old Godzilla movies and the monster movies. Right? Don't go there. It is very bad. So you got Natalie Dormer in The Forest this weekend. And also in limited release, director Tim Blake Nelson has a new film. You probably know him best as an actor. Tim Blake Nelson, what do you know him best for? Maybe Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind, yeah.
He's terrific. And he's also a very talented director. He's got a new film out called Anesthesia, which is about multiple lives intersecting in the aftermath of a violent mugging of a Columbia University philosophy professor. I know on the surface that may not sound like a compelling story. Wait till I tell you the cast. Gretchen Mol, who I love.
Ooh, I love her too. Boardwalk Empire.
Yes, and also she was in Life. Nope. What was the movie with Jason Meyer, TV series, Jason Meyer, based on the British series?
Wasn't it just
Life
called
on
Life?
Mars? Life on Mars?
Oh, Life on Mars, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She was,
in that. She in that?
She was terrific in that. And she also played Betty Page in the story about her life. Corey Stahl, who you know, of course, is the bad guy from Ant-Man, amongst other great projects.
House Cards, yeah.
Kristen Stewart.
All right.
And Sam Waterston.
Mm, that is a good cast.
Good cast, right? With Tim Blake Nelson at the helm, I think this is worth finding. If you can't, if you've already seen Star Wars 4 times, Allie.
Losers. What?
And maybe you've seen all the other big films. Anesthesia may be worth looking into. Here's some clips from the trailer from that film.
How do we still seek purpose?
That very question is what it's all about.
The world has just become so inhuman. Why is it so insensitive? Why is it so selfish?
I'm not going to be what I've turned into anymore.
At the heart of human interaction is the agreement that we're all going to fabricate.
I am so lonely. I crave interaction. I crave it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Allie has a cameo in that film, apparently. So those are your choices for new movies over the weekend.
Okay. All right.
Enjoy Star Wars The Force Awakens. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Were you a little hurt that they did this surprise concert last night and didn't give you enough advance warning to get down there, Allie?
9 o'clock, I see the tweet. Hey, we're going to be playing midnight, Belly Up Tavern. Come on down. I can't, you guys.
Why didn't Brandon tell you that the night before?
I don't know.
Part of pillow talk. I mean, it just seems like he would have mentioned, hey, honey, come on down and see the band.
Don't joke.
Okay. Killers on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We'll catch up with RJ Bell in Las Vegas, the one in Nevada, just after 7 o'clock, talking about his picks for the NFL playoff picture this weekend. Also, TV Guide's Michael Schneider will be here, previewing the Golden Globes, among other things. Look, I don't know a lot about fetuses in utero, but I am always interested to see people who believe that your kids can hear you from inside the mother's belly. What's that about? You're supposed to get your kid kind of used to the sound of your voice. You're supposed to hum. You're supposed to sing. What are you supposed to do to your baby and why? What's it supposed to do for them? Allie, do you know?
I think it just gets them acclimated. So when they do come out, they recognize the dad's voice, the mom's voice. But a lot of people, they play the music. So they'll play classical music. So the baby's calm or maybe becomes smarter. Which is amazing.
But what does a four-month-old fetus know from classical music? Like, why would there be any kind of connection to classical music that would make that kid feel soothed? I don't understand. I don't understand how we think we know so much about what's going on in the brain of the unborn children. But I will tell you one company that does know what's going on, and they are called BabyPod, because they have figured out a way to do concerts for children who have not yet been born with a new device. You're going to think this is a joke. But here's the actual report on the story.
This carol is included in a very special concert by Soraya to welcome Christmas that a group of mothers and their future babies were able to attend. The unborn babies were in the crowd thanks to BabyPod, a revolutionary device designed to broadcast music inside the vagina. This is the first concert for fetuses ever made in the world.
Today, in this vaginal concert, for the first time, the fetuses have had the opportunity to quit the soundproof environment they live and listen to Christmas song.
BabyPod is the result of a Spanish study which proved that a fetus can respond to musical stimulus by moving the mouth.
I've never been performing for such a young audience, so for me it's been a very special show.
BabyPod is safe and easy to use. It is placed like a tampon and connects to the smartphone. It is a revolution in gynecology.
I'm sorry. Connects to the smartphone.
Yes, but you insert it into the vagina to share music with your child-to-be. Yes.
But you've got earbuds hanging out of your hoo-ha.
Well, I guess you do. But let's dial up the phone here, Chip, because we need to find out more about this. Like, why does anything have to be inserted into your vagina for your baby to hear? I mean, can't they just hear from the outside of your tummy? What's the difference here? What's going on?
But we're calling an expert at BabyPod.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, the Kevin and Bean Show calling from K-Rock Los Angeles. We had an interview set up with a spokesperson from BabyPod.
Hey, what's going on?
Who is this?
I'm Cletus.
Oh, hi, Cletus. Welcome. And you represent BabyPod?
No, I'm a happy customer.
Wait, you're a fetus?
Yeah, Cletus the fetus.
Cletus the fetus? Wait, are we talking to you in your mother's womb right now?
Yeah, it's a party, man.
So you also have a phone in addition to a BabyPod?
Yeah, well, Mom first tried to just put the phone in there.
Uh-huh.
And then she locked that. And that's why she decided to get the BabyPod. But I got the phone. My first phone.
You seem to be having a party in there. I thought it was like soothing music. What are you listening to?
Shut up, lady. If the music's too loud, you're too old. I'm young. I love my music loud.
Right.
I like BPMs, baby.
Okay, but I think what Allie is saying is a BabyPod, they were selling this as what? Cletus?
What?
I'm sorry, are you dancing? Is that what's happening
now? That's what I'm doing, yeah.
Okay.
I got an amniotic fluid. You can just do spins and somersaults. Woo!
Huh, it's like a zero gravity for astronauts, huh? Okay, I got you. BabyPod is making this sound like you're supposed to... Okay, is there any way you can get further away from the music so we can hear you?
No, I'm in a uterus. Where am I going to go?
I guess that's a good point. So, Cletus, I thought, as Allie was trying to say, that you're supposed to be soothed by this. This is supposed to be relaxing, and you're warm, and you're comfortable, and you're cozy.
I'm cozy and relaxing. I'm so relaxed. Can I have a little champagne?
No, that's not.
Champagne with the ladies. Woo!
I don't think you should be drinking in the womb. That doesn't seem safe.
Oh, shut up, old man. What do you know?
There seems to be a lot of stuff up there.
There is. It's a party. I call it Vagella.
Vagella.
Yeah. I'm in the VIP tent, bro.
I feel like it's going to be disappointing for you when you are finally born, because the outside world is not nearly this much fun.
I know. That's why I may not ever come out.
Well,
I may start the first in utero nightclub.
Okay.
I'm gonna be like the Scott Disick of babies.
How do you know so much about what's going on in the world?
Smartphone, bro. Smartphone.
Okay. The BabyPod has a lot more going on than I thought it did.
The party don't stop till the water breaks, baby.
That's what I've heard. Friday morning, Ralph Garman is here for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
Just got here, man. I feel like Kevin. It was fun.
It's just running in.
Now I see why he does it. It's exhilarating.
Second. Yeah.
Just that last note just rings out and it's just in your ears and boom. You get to the microphone.
Whew. Kevin sometimes
acts. That's a rush, man.
Kevin sometimes accidentally gets up from his playpen and gets up to the microphone like 10 seconds early. And it's funny. You can see how bored he is on his face waiting for that last 10 seconds for the song to end.
Yeah.
He likes to keep moving, man.
I've been very Kevin-esque the past 24 hours because I haven't had much sleep.
Because
the kid's got the strep throat.
Oh,
so
no.
She's not sleeping well. And so when she doesn't sleep well, we don't sleep well, and it's just been a foggy whirlwind the past 24 hours, and I have a rental car now, you know, because my other car was destroyed by rain.
By the flood, yeah.
By the flood. And so I don't have the car keys and the house keys connected.
Uh-oh.
They're separate. So this morning I woke up, could not find the keys to the rental car. Could not. Almost didn't get here, just because I would have to, like, run. Like, jog to the studio. I had no idea. And I've just been – I feel like I'm just a couple steps out of time all day today. So excuse me.
Imagine what it must be like for Kevin every day, all day, his whole life.
Imagine every morning. Kevin must wake up every morning and not know where his pants are, where his keys are, where his car is, what house he's in. I mean, the series of questions he has to navigate.
Who's that woman in my bed?
Before he gets out the door, it must be endless. I just had the one thing, where are my keys?
This is why I don't know how he seems like such a happy person. Well, like, I would be so depressed if that were my life, but he handles it with such grace and such joy. Doesn't he?
You know what they say about ignorance.
It's like a little puppy who's born with no front legs, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know what it's like to
he's
have front legs.
He's happy to have that cart with the wheels on.
Right, exactly. That's what Kevin is.
That's right. Kevin is the dog with the wheels. He's just with tails wagging, just cruising along with his wagon wheels.
Just looking on the bright side of life.
That's right. God bless him. He will be missed. R.I.P.
He's still alive. He's coming back.
Oh, I heard that messy guy killed him.
Just not here today. He'll be back.
You sure? Remember I mentioned this week that I checked out the American Idol premiere just, you know, for old timey's sake?
Mm-hmm.
Just for nostalgia.
You got sucked in.
You
thought you were just going to stop for a second, and then it got good.
Apparently, I was alone.
Oh.
Yeah, the ratings are out for the American Idol premiere, and boy, the cover story for The Wrap .com entertainment news website says how the mighty have fallen, and it has a great picture of a flaccid microphone.
It really is.
It's like it's a microphone, you know, like you sing into it. Ordinarily, that would be stiff and rigid,
erect, really
erect one.
Yeah.
This one is sort of floppy and just kind of falling over to the side.
That has not seen good things.
It made me laugh very hard. This microphone needs some Viagra. And that's in reference, I guess, to the American Idol ratings. It said, at its peak, the singing competition opened to nearly 40 million viewers on a premiere episode. This week's premiere episode saw less than a third of that. So I guess they're getting out at the right time.
Still bigger than a lot of shows on TV, though. I mean, anything over 10 million is, you know, impressive these days, right?
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying it didn't do okay, but just in comparison.
It's just not the idol it used to be, right?
Right. So, I guess people have lost interest in American Idol, but that picture just made me laugh. Speaking of television, this is exciting news for those people who were yawning at the idea of Coldplay playing the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year. Bruno Mars was added to the mix to juice things up a little bit. That made some people happier, but a lot of people were happy yesterday when the NFL announced that Beyonce will also be joining Coldplay on field for the big event. Beyonce, of course, famously did the halftime show back in 2013 when the power in the stadium went out right after she finished. That's how good she is.
Yeah. And she sings on a song on the new Coldplay album, so it does make
sense.
Yeah,
they have a relationship.
It's not like they're forcing these two things that don't go together. They've worked before.
More artists may be added to the show, even still. So beyond Beyonce and Bruno Mars, there may be additional guests.
There's a Rihanna rumor going around, I know that.
Ooh, I love those Rihanna rumors. So we'll have to wait and see, but look, people will watch. It's the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. And I also just want to say this in defense of Coldplay, because you were right, Ralph, when you started the story to say that a lot of people yawned when they heard the announcement. When people think of Coldplay, sometimes they think of mellow music, like their song Yellow,
mm-hmm.
or Fix You, or songs like that.
Right.
But having seen Coldplay in concert a bunch of times, and I know you guys have too, they really are very energetic and very entertaining, and they're going to do a great job at the Super Bowl.
Chris is one of the great front men. I know you don't think of him in those terms because he's usually behind the piano or whatever, but he can really entertain.
Yeah, very much so.
And I think they're going to be fine.
I'm optimistic for this.
Yeah. I hope they don't add too many guest stars, quite frankly, because I'd like to see what Coldplay does. So we'll have to wait and see. And once again, speaking of television, did anybody besides me sit down to watch a little Shades of Blue last night? The new J-Lo, Ray Liotta, cop drama?
I laughed every time the commercials came on, but I didn't watch the show.
I told you, watch it. Give it a chance.
I did see trending on Twitter that people were blown away by it.
I watched it and really, really liked
it. Yeah.
So, there.
So, suck it.
Bean.
I do enjoy that Ray Liotta.
He's great in this, by the way. It's a really compelling story. I mean, obviously, it's inherent drama to the fact that Jennifer Lopez plays a corrupt not corrupt in the sense like she's a bad person, but she's a police officer. They're trying to be good cops, but they're also trying to make their way in the world and have a little going on the side, you know, to pad the old paycheck a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they get caught up in that, and then she gets, it's not a spoiler because it's right there in the first episode, but she gets discovered, let's say, by an FBI anti-corruption task force, and she is forced with the question of, does she go to jail? She's a single mother. Does she no longer raise her daughter, or does she work with the FBI to bring down the rest of her her crew there in the police department? So it's very compelling stuff inherently, and the performances are really good. I thought the writing was a little clunky, but sometimes in a pilot first episode when they're trying to set up a lot of characters and exposition, you run into that. But I was really pleased with what I saw.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, obviously. Are you surprised that Jennifer Lopez can commit to a one-hour drama every week with all the other things she's got going on?
Well, here's the thing about Jennifer Lopez. I mean, yes, she's got a packed schedule, let's face it, and she's got a ton going on. She's one of the judges on American Idol. She's touring. She still has a musical career. She performs live. She was the host of that award show not too long ago. And when you look at that schedule, you would say, there couldn't possibly be any more room in order to get that kind of work done, in order to squeeze in the kind of work that's required to put together a one-hour drama each and every
week. Only
so
many hours in a day.
Right, so it wouldn't seem possible. But then, as I thought about it, and I took some time, and I sat back, and I reflected.
Come on, Hallie, stay with us.
It struck me
yes,
that even in a schedule as packed as that,
right,
there's always room for J-Lo.
How did I do that?
Bean sucks.
That was the wrong thing.
Yeah, what?
All of that.
And we've yet to hear the right thing. Do you not? Well, that was
a kick of the nuts.
That was J-Lo interruptus right there.
Yeah, it sure was.
No, I feel like this microphone now. I feel like this American Idol microphone on therap.com. I'm sort of flaccid.
I have a loser's theme right next to Loser Price is Right, and I hit the wrong one. And that was, I'm going to just say it. That was my fault.
Oh, that was yours. Oh. That was your fault.
Huh. That was on me.
Because everyone else really has no control over that. So whose fault would it be, I think, is what we're all asking.
No, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to
step up. You're going to take that one?
Take that one, yeah.
Wow. That's bold. So. That's bold of you.
Boy, that was just a bucket of cold water right there. That was just disappointing.
Now you know what it feels like to be Kevin B. We're all getting a little taste today.
Isn't it weird that it's spreading? He's not even here, but we're still infected somehow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Stephen Hawking, 74 years old today. He's going to party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, he's nuts, that guy. Robbie Krieger, guitarist for the legendary L.A. band The Doors, 70 today. David Bowie, 69. R. Kelly's 49. Sarah Polley's 37 years old today, and Gabby Hoffman is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Michael Schneider, the chief content officer for TV Guide magazine, will be here in just a few minutes talking about new shows for 2016 and previewing this weekend's Golden Globes. That's coming up. Also, we go out to Las Vegas and talk to Ashley Escada from CNET about CES. Speaking of Las Vegas, our favorite bookie in the world, RJ Bell, is on the line from pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Hit it, Steve. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com. Happy New Year to you, my friend. How are you?
Awesome. Now, listen, part of my mission is to educate you, and I am going to start off by saying I'm the opposite of a bookie. The bookie takes the bets. I make the bets.
Okay.
The bookie is my mortal enemy. I want to crush him. I think a lot of the listeners who bet totally understand that sentiment.
All right. Please forgive me. I did not mean to call you a dirty word. That was not meant to be the first thing I did in 2016 to get you upset, RJ. But no,
not at all. Noted. Big smile.
All right, second season in the NFL begins this weekend with the wild card games. Two games AFC Saturday, two games NFC Sunday. How big is this in Las Vegas versus betting during the regular season?
All right, so if we look at an average NFL game, just pick it out of a hat, 1 o'clock Eastern start, week 14, compared to a game this weekend, this weekend's games, first round of the playoffs, 10 times the betting action on each game. And that will actually affect the handicap on some of these games because the more people that bet, the more that they approach it from a recreational perspective as opposed to a professional perspective. And there's certain biases associated with that recreational perspective.
That is interesting. All right. We're going to cover all four games for you this week, Kevin Amin listeners. And RJ wants to do them in reverse order of his confidence in the pick. So we're going to start with the game that you are shakiest on, and that is going to be Kansas City at Houston. I see from the information on your site that 75% of bettors are going with Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we like Houston here. And remember, and this is important to remember, if you're betting for fun, you can do anything you want as long as it's fun. If you think you're investing, and that's what's dangerous, if you think you're investing but you're not, that's the problem. You cannot bet if you're trying to invest every game. The line is not going to be wrong in every game. And really, the only time you can win money in the long run is when the line is wrong. So be careful when it comes to betting all these games. That said, I do lean Houston +3.5. That's a key number, 3.5. Kansas City, very good on the road. Andy Reid, the coach in his career on the road, 62% against the spread. Very impressive. So you think KC, right? They've also won 10 straight games. That's where the public is overreacting because that 10 is a really big number. It's easy to understand. But really, if you dig into those games, it's impressive. Anytime you beat the NFL, any NFL team, it's impressive. But it really was a weak group of games. So it's not quite as impressive as some people think. On the flip side, Houston, their quarterback Hoyer has missed a good many games. But when he's in, he's about an average quarterback where the backups are way below average. So Houston's a little bit better than people think. This line is just inflated because of that public perception. So with our number four pick, the least confident, we will go with Houston +3.5.
All right. Up next for RJ, we've got Green Bay traveling to our nation's capital to take on the R team.
Yeah, Green Bay favored by 1 in this game, and I actually like the favorite here, Green Bay. Washington won the NFC East, give them credit, but by definition, if you're in the NFC East, it means you're playing 6 games against the other teams in the NFC East, 2 each against each of those teams, and these were average or way below average teams in general. So Washington looks a little bit better record-wise because they had such weak competition. If you look at the entire regular season, 16 games for Washington, they were only favored twice the entire season. So this really hasn't been a highly regarded team, but now they won the NFC East. A lot of people are impressed by that. Green Bay, they're not a very good team either. Last 10 games, 3-7 straight up, but you think about that Hail Mary against the Lions. That was an amazing miracle win. If they didn't win that, it'd be even worse. So obviously, Green Bay isn't very good. There's one factor, though, with two average teams that matters. Playoff experience. Aaron Rodgers, the public loves him, but in this case, I think it's justifiably so because he has a ton of playoff experience. So do the rest of the Packers. Washington, their quarterback, their coach, they don't have any experience matters. Green Bay, -1.
All right. Up next, the other NFC game is going to be Minnesota hosting my Seattle Seahawks, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this game and also whether you think the historic cold weather is going to be a factor in this game for or against either team, RJ.
Second best bet, number 2. This is one game I'm betting, so we've reached a point where I'm putting my own money on this. Minnesota +5 is the pick. Weather-wise, really quickly, the extreme cold doesn't affect scoring as much as other types of weather. A lot of people think about weather and think, oh, it's going to be a low-scoring game. But really, the cold weather doesn't do that as much, especially in the modern era with the way they can warm themselves on the sidelines. The reason I like Minnesota here is we have a comparable, right? Real estate, you always hear about comps or comparables. Well, you've got it here where these teams played at this exact same location about 1 month ago. You know what the line was in the game? It was Seattle, a one-point underdog. Minnesota was favored by one.
Huh.
Now it's a month later, and somehow Minnesota's favored or a five-point underdog. That means a six-point swing. Why? Is Seattle playing like really, really well? Well, they played well last week, but the week before they got beat at home by the Rams. So it's not like Seattle's surged. Well, has Minnesota played poorly? No, in fact, last week they just won in Green Bay to win the division. Why? It's back to 10 times as much money being bet. The public is really involved, and they remember, wait, Russell Wilson, hey, that guy's a good guy. And hey, they just made the Super Bowl the last 2 years. All of that kind of one level kind of thinking from the public when it comes to sports betting, that's why they like Seattle. And that's why Minnesota plus five offers extra value this week.
That's interesting. So 77% of Las Vegas bettors are going with the Seahawks. That's why you see this as an opportunity, Minnesota plus five. All right, your final game and the one that you are most confident about is the Bengals, who you think plus three will win potentially their first playoff game in 25 years. How come?
Well, I think you're right about that element, which is a big chunk of the narrative, is the Bengals haven't done well in the playoffs. I'm not sure how much of that is legitimately where they have a problem in the playoffs and how much of it is, hey, over the course of four or five games, anything can happen, and we want to find narratives where there's not necessarily narratives. But I think the key to this is that Cincinnati doesn't have their quarterback. And the public really understands that. It's like, oh, Andy Dalton, he was pretty good. Who's this McCarron guy? I think I remember him from college. So that mentality has the public overreacting to Cincinnati's absence of quarterback. The flip side is they're underreacting to the fact that Pittsburgh lost their running back, right? Earlier this year, they lost their starting running back. Then just last week, and again, he could play, but it seems very unlikely, they lost their backup running back, who Williams is his name, who is quite good. So now they've got a third-string running back who, as of prior to last week, only had like 24 yards rushing on the season. The absence of that back isn't just the inability to rush. Also, he's not a pass catcher, and also he's not a pass blocker. So this is a real negative, but the public doesn't even know who the Steelers running back is. So they're not too worried about that. They know Andy Dalton, once again, we're taking advantage and exploiting the bias of the public. And Cincinnati at home getting 3 points, best bet of the week.
All right, there you go. Cincinnati plus three is the best bet. RJ is next confident about Minnesota plus five, Green Bay minus one after that, and the sketchiest game of the week is going to be Houston plus 3.5, which will break a lot of Chiefs fans' hearts, that's for sure. Pregame.com is where you want to go, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and we don't have time here, but they can get all the rundowns on everything having to do with the BCS title game for Monday night there as well. Right, RJ?
Absolutely. A bunch of stuff on college. Big game. One quick thing about that game, though. The point spread in 17 college football title games, the spread has only mattered once. So if you pick the winner, history tells us you're going to have the winner against the spread in Monday's game.
Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. It's pregame.com. Happy New Year. Welcome back, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Should be fun. Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the Chief Content Officer of TV Guide Magazine. Our friend Michael Schneider joins us in studio on K-Rock. Hey, Mike.
Hey, it's me.
It is you. On Twitter, at Franklin Avenue or TV Insider. So, a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about, and I want you first to weigh in on the discussion Ralph and I have been having this week, which is it possible that Jennifer Lopez is in a TV show that's good? Can she play a convincing New York City police officer? Ralph seemed to be very impressed with the premiere last night. I didn't watch it. Am I wrong to miss out on Shades of Blue?
I was a little impressed, too. And by the way, she happens to be on the cover of this week's TV Guide magazine on stands now. Boom. Looking pretty sexy on our cover this week, too. You know, I was surprised, too, because J-Lo seems like like the kind of person that, you know, would maybe do a prestige streaming series or maybe a five-episode, you know, arc on an HBO show. But she went whole hog with a more traditional broadcast TV drama. And it's actually a little different. It's not your traditional procedural. It's got some edge. I heard you guys talking earlier. You know, it's J-Lo's, you know, she's got a little bit of a criminal background. She's a complicated character. Ray Liotta's great. He's got a character with a secret, which you'll find out in a couple of weeks. And it's actually not too bad. It's, you know, it's you're seeing broadcast, you know, trying to catch up to what cable's been doing for a while and what streaming's been doing. So they're doing shows that's got a little more edge and a little more complication to them than just a regular procedural hour.
We're long past the days where there was any kind of a lack of prestige in doing a quality television project. For years and years and years, there were movie actors and there were TV actors, and now it just seems like seamlessly they go back and forth, and you really just can't judge anymore based on where the program airs, right?
Yeah, and you know, you're going to find even more so with Netflix that, you know, you can't really tell the difference. Netflix is doing movies, they're doing TV shows, but it's all on your that screen. You know, maybe you're on your iPad or on your phone or on your traditional TV screen. So what's a movie? What's a TV show? Increasingly, we're really not going to know for sure what's what. And especially, you're already seeing that on the documentary side where some things are eligible for both Oscars and Emmys. So it's kind of a little bit of both.
Speaking of Netflix, they don't release figures on how many people watch their shows, right?
No, that's one of our big bones of contention.
We don't know where they fall in the ratings.
They say things are hits, but we really don't know. We don't know who's watching, how many people are watching, and they love it that way. They love lording that over on us.
When you see something that comes along that is so buzzy and so of the zeitgeist as Making a Murderer is right now, I feel like that's all anybody watched or talked about over Christmas and since.
Yeah.
Do you get any kind of a sense on how many people that actually means? I mean, is that a show that 5 million people are watching or 20 million people are watching?
You know,
what do you think?
You know, it boggles all of us. And as a matter of fact, I just ran into the head of Netflix literally last night and asked them that question. And his answer was, hey, you know, they're making fun of us on talk shows, so clearly a lot of people are watching. That's all I'm going to tell you. So we really don't know. And that's fine, because they live and die by subscriptions. They don't live and die by ratings. They're not selling advertising. So it really, to some degree, doesn't matter how many people are watching shows. As long as it's spurring people to actually subscribe to Netflix,
right,
then it doesn't matter what's hot and what's not. They want to sort of, you know, populate as many different kinds of people as well who are subscribing. So that's why you have a real good mix of different kinds of shows now at Netflix.
Yeah, whether you're an Adam Sandler guy or a Pee-wee guy or a House of Cards guy or an Arrested Development guy, I mean, they're going to get you one way or another. We're at the point now where I consider Netflix to be essential. If you can afford it, you pretty much have to have it.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to find eventually that you're going to have a number of these streaming services. So maybe you're going to need Hulu as well, because they're really starting to do a lot of new stuff. And they've got a great library of old stuff, too, like, you know, all the South Park episodes and what have you from the past. And Amazon. And then eventually you're going to, you know, maybe buy a la carte, you know, maybe either CBS All Access or HBO Now or Showtime or some of the others as well. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion about whether people are cutting the cord. You're starting to see that. Not huge numbers yet, but in a couple of years when you're able to sort of buy a la carte these different channels, that's going to be the new norm.
Yeah, channels are apps now. All right, let's talk about a couple other news shows. This was another big week for people who were excited about the return of American Crime. Now, I've taped it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. And this is a lot of the same people from last season back, but an all-new story, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Regina King, for example, is sort of at the forefront of this. And you know, she's having such a great year. You loved her on The Leftovers. So, you know, but it's a different kind of story. It's, you know, she actually plays a mom whose basketball son is accused of raping a scholarship student at a prep school. And so there's a lot of issues that, you know, kind of some of the things that you're dealing with on documentaries like Making a Murderer, you know, sort of, you know, the questions of miscarriage of justice. And also there's a youth element to this version of it.
Is it kind of loosely based on, it sounds like there's some real life parallels to maybe that Steubenville, Ohio news story from a couple of years ago. Is that, it's something like that?
You know, I haven't, you know, heard them say that exactly, but I think there are a lot of sort of, you know, ripped from the headlines stories,
right,
that probably went into that.
All right, you got some new shows I am completely unfamiliar with that are getting ready to debut in the next few days. One is called Shadow Hunters, the other Teachers.
Yeah, well, they're both on cable. So, you know, Shadowhunters is going to be on ABC Family, which actually is renaming itself. It's now called Freeform. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
They're renaming ABC Family Freeform.
What do you think of that
in
name?
A couple of days? You know, it's hard to name things. It's hard to name TV shows. It's hard to name networks. I don't love it, but I think we'll kind of just get used to it the way we got used to other names. I mean,
Netflix was a stupid name when it began.
There are a lot of stupid names out there. I mean, remember when they renamed the Nashville network Spike? And you're like, what is Spike? What does that mean? That sounds vaguely porny. I think they wanted it to sound vaguely porny, but so it is tough to name networks. So they've still got that problem going on. But Shadowhunters see here, it's about a free spirit. She starts on her 18th birthday. She learns she's a shadow hunter, which is a half human, half angel. She's got to protect mankind from demons. So very, very supernaturally and very much in tune with that audience, that sort of young female audience that watches ABC Family. I'm sorry, hashtag Freeform.
All right. And the other one, Teachers, I know it's on TV Land. And the only reason I've heard about it is because, you know, I love me some Alison Brie. And I think she's one of the big wigs behind this show.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, she is. So I haven't seen it yet, to tell you the truth. So I don't have too much on that one.
All right. This is the voice, by the way, of Michael Schneider from TV Guide magazine talking about Golden Globes in just a few minutes. But let me just hit a couple of other news shows that I have seen a lot of promos for. One is called Billions. You can't watch Homeland this season without seeing Billions, which stars Damian Lewis, a former Homeland star as well. And this looks fantastic.
Yeah. It's very raw. It's very much about, sort of high finance in New York. And you know, you've got a lot of guys who are wagging their junk in each other's faces.
Wow.
And I sort of got Allie interested. It's a great cast. You mentioned Damian Lewis, who, of course, we loved on Homeland. So you know,
and
he's
Paul
in it.
Giamatti,
Paul Giamatti's
right?
in it. It's just these power brokers who are up in their face. There's you know, that great line that you saw in the promo over and over again. What's the point of having F you money if you don't say F you?
So, right.
That tells you everything you need to know about Billions. So, that's coming up. Let me tell you about one that I'm really excited about. We got to talk about People versus OJ.
Yes, that's up next for me. That's great Groundhog Day, right?
Yes. And, it's called American Crime Story. It's sort of the first of an anthology series, sort of like what Ryan Murphy does with American Horror Story. So, but People versus OJ, I've seen the first several episodes. And guys, especially for those of us who lived in Southern California, who experienced the OJ trial firsthand, and of course we all remember the Bronco chase and everything else, it's incredible. You're going to relive it from a different perspective. You're going to maybe learn things that you didn't know before. John Travolta as Robert Shapiro is insane, but when you think you can't get any more insane, then you've got David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian, playing sort of a meek, third tier lawyer, Robert Kardashian. Of course, Cuba Gooding Jr. is OJ. Sarah Paulson is Marsha Clark, and again with the ringlets. And you're gonna have flashbacks. But it's so well done, and there's a lot of Easter eggs for people who live in Southern California. There's some in jokes about the Kardashian kids. It's sort of the origin story of Kardashian kids to some degree. But that one, like, if there's one show I got to say in mid season that you should check out, you're really gonna enjoy that one.
Oh, I can't wait. And wasn't that interesting? And I know it's very difficult to promote new shows and show enough to get people interested to tune in because we all have so many options now. But that whole first series of promos that they did with the backs of people's heads, wasn't that like one of the strangest commercial campaigns you've ever seen?
I got to say, FX, they do some interesting things with their marketing. Those billboards you see around town, especially the ones that get them in trouble sometimes, but on purpose because we're all talking about them. They've got a really great marketing team over there. They really make some great noise. And that teaser campaign, I think, was the next generation of that.
Absolutely. Hey, on TVGuide.com or in the current issue,
TVInsider.com.
TVInsider.com. Apologies.
No worries.
There's lots more shows other than the ones we mentioned that you guys kind of do breakdowns for. So if people are looking for a place to kind of go to see it all in one place so they can get set up on their DVR so they don't miss anything. That's a good way to go.
You've got Eva Longoria and Telenovela. You've got a new version of War and Peace. You've got DC's Legends of Tomorrow coming on. And, of course, you have the return of the X-Files on January 24, which is huge. Going to be huge.
I need to quit my job, Michael. There's too much TV, my friend.
It's my job, and I don't have enough time to watch all of it.
All right. A quick break. By the way, again, on Twitter, at Franklin Avenue and TVinsider.com. We'll talk Golden Globes with our guest, Michael Snyder, from TV Guide Magazine, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Catching up with our friend Michael Snyder, Chief Content Officer of TV Guide Magazine, here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Big weekend for Hollywood. What's the weather forecast for Sunday night for all those pretty dresses on the red carpet at the Golden Globes, Michael? What are they saying?
I hope El Nino. Because
sadly, no. It's supposed to be low 60s, but no rain.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, so exactly,
that would have been so fun to see all those professional umbrella holders out there on the red carpet.
Show the world, El Nino. Yeah, well, at least it won't be baking like it is during the summer Emmys, where it's like 120 degrees and they're literally melting on the red carpet.
Right. Do you go to the Globes?
I do. I'll be there. I'll be backstage writing it up, covering it. It should be an interesting year, actually, because there's some really interesting nominees this year.
All right. Before we get to the nominees, we were all excited, right, when Ricky Gervais was announced as the return host, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can't go wrong with Ricky. I mean, Amy and Tina are fantastic, and that would have been fine, too, if they wanted to continue. But if you couldn't have those two, then, Ricky, is going to say some naughty things. He's going to piss off some people and needle some people in the audience, and that's what you want. That's what you want in that live show.
I can't figure out why he's not a bigger star in the United States, Ricky Gervais. Is it because he just doesn't do many projects for us?
Well, I would disagree. I would, say that he's probably much better known than a lot of British comedians who, are huge over there, but we haven't still really heard of, people like Chris Evans and some of those hosts over there who, really haven't translated over. And the most interesting thing is, here in America, we all think of Hugh Laurie as a dramatic actor, not realizing that, in the UK, he was a big comedic star. So
comedy genius.
Yeah, huh? So it's kind of interesting that, Ricky Gervais is one of the few people who actually did manage to come over and sort of conquer the U.S. to some degree.
All right. Which categories are you excited about or do you think are ripe for an upset?
Well, drama, we can go straight to there because, one of my favorites of last year was nominated, Mr. Robot from USA. So it's a really interesting mix of you've got Mr. Robot up against Narcos from Netflix, Outlander from Starz, which has its own sort of rabid fan base. Then, of course, you've got Game of Thrones, and you've got Empire in there as well, the populist favorite. So it's a real – I mean, if you could only have five shows, which is ridiculous in this day and age of 409 scripted series last year.
Wow.
If you can only have five, that's a pretty good mix. I mean, I could argue for 20 more that should be in there, but there can only be five, so that's not bad. So, you can start there. And, Rami Malek, who plays the lead character on Mr. Robot, is up for Best Actor against John Hamm and Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul, who was great, and, Liev Schreiber from Ray Donovan. So that's a great category, too.
These 90 guys and gals, whoever they are, for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, are they pretty can we count on them to watch shows like Mr. Robot? I mean, are they really going to watch everything?
That's the big mystery about the HFPA, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, because it is such a small group. I mean, they are pitched and wined and dined by the studios throughout the year, so they at least are aware of these shows. And honestly, the fact that they're picking some real high quality stuff for the most part, there have been years where they've been really questionable in their picks. And of course, there's, you go back a couple decades and there was some real, real scandals when it came to, some of the nominees. I think they've kind of straightened things out. And at least now, they're kind of going with the real critically acclaimed stuff this time. Comedy side too. I mean, you've got such an interesting mix: Casual from Hulu, Mozart in the Jungle from Amazon, Orange is the New Black from Netflix, Silicon Valley, which love. Whenever anyone mentions Silicon Valley, it's deservedly so. Transparent, Veep. I mean, again, you can't argue with any of those choices.
No, it's crazy, and I mean, it's just so funny. You look down on this list, and you also see new shows that have really made an impact. Things like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, for instance, the Show Me a Hero miniseries, which I loved, by the way. I feel like I was all alone on that. I mean, there's just Bloodline. There's just so many things that came out new that were real quality that are being rewarded.
Yeah, American Crime is on there, Flesh and Bone from Starz, Wolf Hall, of course, Fargo, which didn't get enough love, honestly, here, but I think maybe it came on too late for the Golden Globes voters to notice. But, Fargo season two was still one of the greatest, sort of, season two choose. That's a show that was so great in its first year. How are they going to top themselves? And they managed to do so. So
yep.
Glad to see that.
Here's a couple of predictions from TV Guide that I hope come true. Sylvester Stallone, you say, will win supporting actor Golden Globe for Creed. Boy, what a story his career has been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that
he won an Oscar 40 years ago for writing Rocky, and now here he is all these years later still being acclaimed for work.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who a lot of people just kind of laugh at. They think about Sylvester Stallone and some of the roles he's done. But, I mean, when he wants to, he can be great.
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, it's kind of similar to Harrison Ford to some degree. You know, sometimes he can turn it on and sometimes not. And Sly, you know, had a great comeback with Creed. We'll see. But, you know, I think there's such a sort of a – he's a sentimental favorite. So I think that's a real possibility.
Matt Damon is likely to win a Golden Globe, TV Guide says, comedy musical actor for The Martian. I wonder if this is going to – could possibly this be one of those things that makes it more likely that he will get some recognition from the Academy Awards as well?
That's another big question that we always wonder. You know, what sort of impact do any of these award shows have on the Oscars? I'd say some, and you know, it's kind of like a political campaign. Once you get some early heat, then there's – especially this year where there's no real front runner in any of the film categories for the most part. You know, some years, you know, a Titanic is just going to sweep no matter what. So what's the point? This year, it's kind of wide open. So it's going to be more interesting this year to see how some of these early award shows impact, you know, the Oscars down the road.
Allie, anyone you're excited about this weekend that you're rooting for that you love?
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love Transparent. I love Mr. Robot, though. And I think it should win. I don't think it will. I think Narcos will win, but...
Interesting.
Yeah.
I see. I don't know. I think really? Narcos is still a little more on the obscure side for the voters. But then
Narcos
again, it's a small, small voting base, yeah. So you don't know.
Do you want to do some bets?
Can we?
Okay.
Can we get RJ Bell back on the phone, maybe?
So. All right, Michael, what's the plan for covering the Golden Globes with TVInsider.com?
So we'll be all over it on TVInsider.com, covering backstage, covering the winners, covering the nominees, of course, also we'll be at all the parties. There's an HBO party, Amazon, NBC, they all do big shindigs, Fox, so we'll be there as well. You know, hopefully people embarrass themselves or in a drunken stupor, and we'll be there mm-hmm. covering that as well. I should add, Allie, I know Swampy as well.
Do you?
Yes.
Excellent.
He's a great guy.
He's a wonderful
good guy.
Man.
Dan and Swampy
is wonderful.
Are fantastic.
I miss Phineas and Ferb
yes.
every day.
Yes, yes.
I feel like
thank
this part of the conversation could be off air.
No, I say we talk more okay. about it.
All right, Michael, great to see you, my friend. Happy New Year. We'll do it again soon.
Happy Globes.
7:53 on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, we got an intervention coming up just after 8.
Yeah, we do.
K-Rock family member here. We had somebody from his family reach out to us and say, you guys have got to step in and you've got to save my marriage. You've got to save my family. So we're going to take care of some very serious business. I think we're just the people to treat this with the sensitivity with which it needs to be treated.
I agree.
That's coming right up. First, though, time for the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's new?
I'm not a big remake guy. You know that. I like the OG. I like originality over reboots.
Mm-hmm.
But this one has me pretty excited. One of my favorite old-timey science fiction movies is getting a facelift. It's called Fantastic Voyage. Familiar with Fantastic Voyage?
I do. I love the book, and I love the movie.
Fantastic Voyage is a great story about, I guess it's the president who has a blood clot in his brain, and the only way they can save him is to get a team and miniaturize them. They shrink them down in a tiny little submarine, and they inject the submarine into the president's bloodstream, and they have to attack the blood clot with their super-powered submarine. It's awesome.
Like you do.
What?
And they get attacked by white blood cells and corpuscles, and they run into stuff in the body.
What kind of stuff?
Bad stuff. Dangerous stuff. And they run out of oxygen, so they have to, like, plug into his lung and get air out of his lung by running a tiny little hose into his lung to get some oxygen. It's genius. Oh. It's like inner space. Instead of outer space, it's inner space.
Oh.
You don't get it, Allie.
It's deep.
But the reason I'm excited is because Guillermo del Toro is in talks to direct the film. And if anybody can bring that story to life, it's him. So that's good news. Bad news for the geeks out there. TNT has announced that they have decided not to go forward with their pilot for Titans. Based on the Teen Titans. Hello?
Wait, is this a comic book project that isn't being greenlit?
I know, right?
How is that possible?
It's dumb. They should just do every comic book show. No pilots, just put it right on the air.
Forever.
Teen Titans, of course, for those who are hip, for those who get it, was the group originally made up of superhero sidekicks, young superhero sidekicks who banded together to make sort of a junior Justice League. And Al, you know, the original four Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah.
That were?
Jimbo?
No, Jimbo. There was no Jimbo in the Teen Titans. It was Robin.
Okay.
Kid Flash.
Yes.
Wonder Girl.
Mm-hmm. And Allegra.
No, there's no Allegra. Aqualad, I think, was the original fourth. And then Speedy came along a little bit later.
Mm.
Green Arrow sidekick. So it was going to be based on that long-running comic book series. But TNT has decided to pull the plug on its pilot for Titans. So we won't get to see them in a live-action TV series, which makes me tragically sad.
Dr. Boogie?
Dr. Boogie, he came along later. He was a much later addition to the Teen Titans.
Dweezil Zappa.
Dweezil Zappa actually was an honorary member, but never got full membership in the Teen Titans.
Professor from Gilligan's Island?
he also was not an actual member of the Teen Titans.
Marv Albert?
Marv Albert was sort of like a pal of Titans. He would hang around the clubhouse, but he never really became... He didn't really have any powers, so they never let him go.
Who is Anne Frank?
Anne Frank. Ooh. No, she sadly never got a chance to join the team.
Well, it's a shame that show won't be going forward.
Yes, it will. But we get DC's Legends of Tomorrow, so that makes me feel better. I had a chance to watch the pilot episode for that. I think 21st is when it officially airs over there on the CW. Oh, my Lord. Oh, boy. You're going to like it.
Anyone hot?
Yeah, lots of hot people. Hawkman. Ah! We had him on. We had
that's right.
We had Falk on, and he was a great guy and handsome.
What is a nerd?
How dare you? I won't stand for that kind of talk. Amy Schumer's got a beau.
Mm-hmm.
Got a fella. His name is Ben Hanisch, and he is a furniture designer. And she wants everyone to know that she met him the old-fashioned way, just a person-to-person meetup. Because there are rumors swirling on the internet that they hooked up thanks to a dating app called Bumble. You're familiar with Bumble, Allie?
I am not.
Is this the celebrity Tinder? Is that what this is?
I don't know. That's why I was asking if anyone was familiar with Bumble. I had never heard of it before. But anyway, she wanted everyone to know that she's never in her life been on Bumble.
All right.
But they got... hooked up, and they're very happy together, and Amy says she's pregnant, but she was kidding. So.
I think she seems like she'd be a fun girlfriend. Amy Schumer.
What leads you to think that? What about Amy Schumer makes you think she'd be a fun girlfriend?
You mean her comedy and funness, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you really got on a limb there, Bean.
I am. I'm just saying she's like a nice lady, smart lady, funny lady.
Right.
Attractive.
Yeah,
like
so
got,
I think
got
we would all come
on.
To the conclusion that she would be a fun girlfriend, wouldn't we?
I'm saying it would be a positive to date Amy Schumer.
Why do you feel the need to state that?
He's had some hot takes today.
He really has.
Because, look, not every celebrity is for every person, but I'm saying me and Amy Schumer, I'm down with that. I like it. Daddy likey.
You know, I had some ice the other day in my glass, and it was quite cold. I find ice to be chilly.
Look, I guess the reason I said it is because there are probably some people out there who Amy Schumer is not their type. I'm saying she's right in my wheelhouse. I find her very... I find nothing to dislike about Amy Schumer. That's all I'm saying. I'm just complimenting the lady.
Just not in the room.
Just saying nice things about her. That's all.
Okay. And this is exciting Broadway news. We don't talk about Broadway very often, but apparently... they are going to do a stage version of the classic Al Pacino movie Dog Day Afternoon. One of my favorite Sidney Lumet films. If you've never seen it, you owe it to yourself. It's a great film. It's about Al Pacino plays a man who stages a bank robbery in order to pay for the sex change operation for his
boyfriend who wants to transition and become a woman. And it's an outstanding story. It's a great movie. And apparently they're going to do a Broadway play based on that film.
I mean, it kind of lends itself to that. Most of it was takes place in
one room.
In the bank, yeah. In the hostage situation. Yeah, I could certainly see that.
I just hope Al comes back to reprise his role. That'd be great. It's
great on Broadway.
Great on Broadway. Just as people talk Chinese.
That's what we know. Right. Give him a lot of dialogue.
That's terrific.
Ooh, I want some money. So my boyfriend can take off his penis.
Come on. You wouldn't pay good money to see that show? Today's celebrity birthdays. Stephen Hawking, 74 years old. Robbie Krieger of the legendary band The Doors, 70 years old. You a Doors fan, Bean?
Very much so.
Me too. I think
a lot great of band.
Outstanding. David Bowie is 69 years old today and also celebrates the release of his latest album, Black Stars, available today. Singer R. Kelly is 49, Sarah Polley's 37, and actress Gabby Hoffman of Transparent turns 34 today. I'm Ralph Garman and Walk the Showbiz Beat. I had never heard of it before. But anyway, she wanted everyone to know that she's never in her life been on Bumble.
All right.
But they got hooked up, and they're very happy together, and Amy says she's pregnant, but she was kidding. So
I think she seems like she'd be a fun girlfriend. Amy Schumer.
What leads you to think that? What about Amy Schumer makes you think she'd be a fun girlfriend?
You mean all her comedy and funness, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you really got on a limb there, Bean.
I am. Just saying she's like a nice lady, smart lady, funny lady.
Right.
Attractive.
Yeah,
she's like,
so
got,
I think
got
we would all come
on.
To the conclusion that she would be a fun girlfriend, wouldn't we?
I'm saying it would be a positive to date Amy Schumer.
Why do you feel the need to state that?
He's had some hot takes today.
He really has.
Oh.
Because, look, not every celebrity is for every person, but I'm saying me and Amy Schumer, I'm down with that. I like it. Daddy likey.
You know, I had some ice the other day in my glass, and it was quite cold. I find ice to be chilly.
Look, I guess the reason I said it is because there are probably some people out there who Amy Schumer is not their type. I'm saying she's right in my wheelhouse. I find her I find nothing to dislike about Amy Schumer. That's all I'm saying. I'm just complimenting the lady.
Just not in the room.
Just saying nice things about her. That's all.
Okay. And this is exciting Broadway news. We don't talk about Broadway very often, but apparently they are going to do a stage version of the classic Al Pacino movie Dog Day Afternoon. One of my favorite Sidney Lumet films. If you've never seen it, you owe it to yourself. It's a great film. It's about Al Pacino plays a man who stages a bank robbery in order to pay for the sex change operation for his boyfriend, who wants to transition and become a woman. And it's an outstanding story, and it's a great movie. And apparently they're going to do a Broadway play based on that film.
I mean, it kind of lends itself to that. Most of it was takes place in
one room?
In the bank,
yeah.
In the hostage situation. Yeah, I could certainly see that.
I just hope Al comes back to reprise his role. That'd be great.
It's great on Broadway.
Great on Broadway. Just as people
That's
talk Chinese.
That's what we know.
That's right.
Give him a lot of dialogue.
That's terrific.
Ooh, I want some money. So my boyfriend can take off his penis.
Come on. You wouldn't pay good money to see that show? Today's celebrity birthdays. Stephen Hawking, 74 years old. Robbie Krieger of the legendary band The Doors, 70 years old. You a Doors fan, Bean?
Very much so.
Me too. I think
a lot great band.
Outstanding. David Bowie is 69 years old today and also celebrates the release of his latest album, Black Stars, available today. Singer R. Kelly is 49, Sarah Polley's 37, and actress Gabby Hoffman of Transparent turns 34 today. I'm Ralph Garman and Walk the Showbiz Beat.
I'm looking deep into this lineup for Coachella this year, and I don't even see Lit anywhere. They're not even on the list. What's the point of having the goddamn show if you can't have any... No Lit, no peace.
Said it for years.
But if you want to see LCD Sound System and Ellie Goulding and the Foles and Monsters and Men, Guns N' Roses, Disclosure, Churches, Halsey, Mike Snow, the Vandals, Calvin Harris, Major Lazer, the list goes on and on and on. Two big weekends in April, both sold out. Don't forget, you can still win your tickets. We've got them coming up on the air at K-Rock in days to come. You can go to krock.com for more information and a chance to win three-day passes. All right, we'll talk CES with our friend Ashley Esqueda from CNET coming up later this hour. First, though, we got to take care of some business. Ellie, you got this email a couple days ago from Lightning's wife, right?
I did.
What was your initial reaction?
I thought, oh, poor Brandy. Yeah, she emailed about his – he has a huge monster truck. We've all seen it around K-Rock, but he has to park it somewhere, so he parks it in front of their house. So right. He got a cover for it, which I get. Rains a lot. I understand it. But then he one-upped the covers.
Uh-huh.
He put covers on the tires, so they just look like – big shoes on top of the tires. It is a monstrosity.
She is a long-suffering wife to Lightning, and she is Brandy, and I think we actually have both of them on the phone from home this morning. One of their final days together as a married couple. Hi, Brandy, first of all.
Good morning.
Hi, Lightning.
Yes, guys. Hello.
Brandy, first of all, you did the right thing. A lot of women suffer in silence, and they don't have the strength or the courage to admit that they need help. So I just want to say, first of all, you're in a very supportive environment here. Mm-hmm. You have friends. We're on your side. And thank you for reaching out for us to help you, okay?
Thank you for helping.
Come on. Of course. She's nothing abused here.
All right. Not so much from you, Lightning. All right. Brandy. So fill in the blanks. Allie gave us the overview. Maybe a little more description about what this beast is in front of your house.
Okay, so he's been working on this project for about 3 years. And he, I guess, shows it in car shows. This is his hobby. So it's beautiful. It's pretty. But it just doesn't deserve to sit in front of anyone's house.
It's not pretty, by the way. It's manly. It's a big manly truck.
Got it.
I'm sorry.
The problem isn't the car. It's that it's an eyesore when it's covered. It just looks like a big tank, right?
Right. Okay, so when it's uncovered, everyone has to stop and take pictures and ask a lot of questions. So that's really bothersome to me. But when it's covered, it's like an eyesore. Like, you drive down the street going, what is it exactly being a tank? And then, which is fine, it's the obvious. You know, you don't want to draw a lot of attention because it does splatter K-Rock all over it, and you just don't, you know, want any more attention than it already gives. But then you put this cover on, and I understand, you know, it's to keep it safe and whatever.
Keep the paint looking good, right?
A couple days ago, I walk outside, and I'm like, what the blank? What is that? And there's these big black RV wheel covers. They're like shoes. And it's so much of an eyesore that it's bad enough that the neighbors already call the cover a wedding dress, his wedding dress. But now he's added the shoes to the wedding dress.
And you don't wear ugly orthopedic shoes with a wedding dress.
It doesn't match.
It doesn't match. So, Lightning, what do you got under the tent there, son? Tell us about this vehicle that you're so proud of.
So it's a Chevy dually. It's got the dual rear wheels in the back there. It's up on a 12-inch lift with 37-inch tires. So it's something that you'd expect to see in, like, Texas or Arizona. But that's why I like it, because it stands out like a sore thumb here. And it's fun, and it's the monster truck that every little kid wants, and so I finally built one.
And you drive it, right?
What's that?
You drive it, right?
I do, of course. Yeah, I drive it.
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, well, I do drive it. It's been at K-Rock quite a few times, and I think car shows. It'll be at Anaheim Stadium today at noon when I get to give away Supercross tickets.
Oh, God.
But I have a lot of partners in the project, and it's got a beautiful vinyl wrap, which I want to take care of, so I have the cover for it. And then I've got some amazing 24-inch American Force wheels and Toyo tires that I wanted to protect.
You guys really want to hear all this?
So
not
I,
really.
So guys, it's like winterizing. So I went out and I said, hey, I see RVs in the wintertime that put covers over the tires. So I thought, I'm going to put covers over my tires.
Okay, but what can it like, – what? But look, I understand. I get why you want to protect the wrap, you want to protect the paint. I mean, it's been raining lately, but usually it's just hot, hot sun beating down on your truck and you don't want to fade it. I get all that. But what is the damage to the tires if they get wet or
get
sun? That's what I don't understand.
All right, this is silly. It started off on one side of the truck where the sprinklers would go on every Monday and Friday while I'm not here, and they would the water has such – there's so much calcium in the water, it leaves spots. And any guy that parks in front of a house with sprinklers knows that it stains – either the paint or the wheel. So I wanted just one cover. Nobody would see it because it's on the side of the house. It, you know, it's facing the house. So just to keep the water spots off the wheel. So I didn't have
but
to
the water that. Spots four off the of tire. The water spots off a tire. A tire that's an it's built for outdoors for being on a highway. It's okay if the tires get wet.
I know that. I just don't want to have to clean it every single time.
Why don't
I
you just
it
park it on the lawn?
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Brandy, what do you think he should do with his truck? Would you like him to pay for storage somewhere else and not leave it at the house? Is that what you're gunning for here?
Well, if we have to keep it, yes.
What do you mean if we have to keep it?
Well, you asked me what would I want? What do
You'd
we
be
need
fine
it for?
If he got rid
what
of it.
What is it for?
Oh, no. This is going to get ugly, guys.
Well, I mean, she's asking a reasonable question, which is why do we need a tank on top of the cars that we already have to drive our family around? Is it essential that you keep this piece of machinery?
I think that if Trump is elected, world is going to turn topsy-turvy, and there's going to be riots in the streets, and I'm going to need a tank to get up to, to our cabin in Mammoth. And the only way to do it is with 100 gallons of gas on board and get all my friends with guns and hop in the truck and motor over people.
I think that's a rich fantasy scenario, and I appreciate you thinking ahead. But, like, what about you're Mr. Long Beach. You've got lots of car friends. Certainly there's someplace else you could keep this thing that's not in front of your house, especially if you're not driving it all the time. If you only take it out for special occasions, if you had it down, if you had it at a friend's, salvage yard or something like that, you could go today and pick it up and take it to Anaheim Stadium. It doesn't have to be in front of your wife's house like an eyesore.
Thank you.
I have thought about that. I have a friend that builds motorcycles, and I was thinking about storing it at his place. So that is something that I didn't realize this was such a problem until I got the phone call from Dave that said that
Brandy had reached out to us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, basically she's just trying to get word. She needs help.
I guess I'm going to have to be the one that moves because I can't look at that, and I can't imagine my neighbors want to look at that.
I didn't know it was this serious.
They walk out of their house. I mean, come on. That thing is not, little. That takes up an entire block.
And think about it. Looking out from your house, it's an eyesore for your family, Lightning. Nobody wants to look out onto their serene suburban street and see this. And by the way, we did put the pictures up on all the Kevin and Bean social media. If you want to see the picture on our Instagram or Facebook page or something
Thank
like that,
you
can certainly see the pictures. But I think, Allie, do you agree with me that it's not unreasonable for Brandy to suggest that her husband move this truck someplace else, not permanently be in front of their house?
Absolutely. And if he has somewhere to actually go to, which you said you did, pull the trigger. Bring it over.
Right.
I think it's just the cover, though. I think the cover, because it looks like a fat chick in a miniskirt. You know what I mean?
No. You took it further, and now that these shoes, they don't even match the cover. That's the thing. If it maybe blended, maybe it might look a little better. But no, you had it's to too, blast it.
Light, it's too big to be in front of your house, son.
Exactly.
That's where we're
said.
Oh, Lightning.
All right. Well, listen, I hope that this is at least filled in some of the cracks in your relationship and that it's going to now be strong enough to go forward. Lightning, will you consider very seriously moving it away from the lawn?
Today
is my birthday, Lightning.
Oh, Brandy, happy birthday.
Thank you. So that would be like a really good gift.
That would be great to do that today, Lightning.
And I would really appreciate if anyone had a place that he could put it.
Yeah. I will look into that, guys.
More ways than one.
All right.
Oh.
All right.
Brandy, happy birthday. Thanks for reaching out. Light, do the right thing. Thanks, you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, those pictures are up of the monster truck that's out in front of Lightning and his wife Brandy's home. And we're getting a lot of reaction on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Allie. I don't know if you've taken a look at this.
No.
Aaron says, looks like a big bug-tented house. It actually does. Shannon says, I agree. The shoes go, talking about the covers for the tires, but the truck stays. I'd be proud to have that parked out front. Says someone, by the way, who doesn't have it parked out front every day. Peter writes, poor Brandy, she grew up and Lightning never did. That's about right. And Mitchell, you're going to hate. It's a car guy thing. She wouldn't understand. Keep it as it is.
Oh, Mitchell.
Eric wants to know why Lightning sprinklers are coming on twice a week, especially this time of year with as much rain as we've got. That's a pretty good question, too. All right. Anyway, you can see those pictures if you want to. Let's talk Donald Trump for a minute. He gets all the media coverage in the world in his campaign to be our next president. I'm actually surprised he is now spending money on a TV campaign, aren't you?
Yeah, you'd think he's got this locked up in his head.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't, until this month, he had not spent any money on TV campaigns. All the other candidates have been running ads for a long time, but he is putting his own cash into it, and it kind of surprised me a little bit that his first commercial kind of emphasized some of the things that many people had problems with. His very controversial stance, particularly when it comes to Muslims and comes to Mexicans, he put right there in his first ad. If you didn't hear it, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up, if you didn't hear it, here's a little bit of Donald Trump's first campaign ad that he paid for.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
The politicians can pretend it's something else, but Donald Trump calls it radical Islamic terrorism. That's why he's calling for a temporary shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until we can figure out what's going on. He'll quickly cut the head off ISIS and take their oil. And he'll stop illegal immigration by building a wall on our southern border that Mexico will pay for.
We will make America great again.
I'm starting to think that he's an evil genius, by the way, who's able to come up with a commercial that is so offensive to so many people that the media can't help but cover it for free, mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of times more than he has to buy an ad campaign for. I mean, this thing was played nonstop for a week after it was released, and that was all free to Donald Trump.
Right.
So people have thought, well, this is his first ad is saying all these things that you'd think would be so divisive, and he continues to get more and more popular. Well, it's just the beginning. We have found out that a new series of Donald Trump commercials are getting ready to hit the airwaves all over America, and I think we've got some of those. Here's the first one.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Let's face it. Donald Trump doesn't like Muslims.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
Not to mention, they're scary. And so Donald Trump will keep Muslims out of America to make white people feel safer. Hey, Muslims.
Sit down.
Donald Trump 2016. Making America great again and making whitey feel safe.
We will make America great again.
So making whitey feel safe now apparently is part of the campaign ad.
I mean, at least he's saying it.
I mean,
right?
He's saying it, right?
Right?
He's not hiding,
nope.
You know, shrinking from his position as so many politicians do. I guess that's why he's different. All right, so he continues to ratchet up the rhetoric. Here's another of the new Trump ads.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
A lot of Donald Trump's enemies have been standing up lately, saying that his campaign promises are insane. Well, Donald Trump has one thing to say to them.
Sit down.
Donald Trump will build a wall between the United States and Mexico, and Mexico will pay for it. Why?
They're losers. They're just losers.
That's right. Only losers pay for things. So don't stand up for a better America.
Sit down.
Sit down to make America great.
We will make America great again.
So wait, we're supposed to sit down to make America great,
yes,
and not pay for things because if we pay for things, we're losers?
What I got from it.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I'm confused, but let's move on. Yet another Trump campaign ad.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Donald Trump knows.
We need to build a wall.
That good fences make good neighbors. So in order to make Mexico a good neighbor,
we need to build a wall.
And while we're talking about it, how about those Canadians?
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime.
Oh.
They're rapists.
They're even more dangerous because they look just like us. They can blend in anywhere. Taking our women, our jobs, playing hockey.
We need to build a wall.
That's right. Donald Trump wants a wall between America and Canada. And Canada will pay for it.
Oh.
And what about Florida? Seems like there's a lot of weirdos down there.
We need to build a wall.
Detroit? That's a scary city.
We need to build a wall.
How do you feel about your ex-wife?
We need to build a wall.
Donald Trump 2016. Because let's face it, there's no problem a wall can't cure.
We will make America great again.
It's going to be a very different America when he's inaugurated. It sounds like we're going to have a lot of walls. But I think he might be right about that Florida thing, though.
Once I was 7 years old, Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once
since I was 7 years old.
What's happening in that song?
He's getting older, Allie? And stuff, and his mom's like, you were 7 once, make friends. And he's like, all right. And then he just talks about a lot of stuff.
Does he die at the end?
Yeah.
Or does he become an old man and learn something?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I lost the plot somewhere along the way.
I don't know.
All right, we got to listen to that one again. That is called 7 Years, new from Lucas Graham out of Denmark, I want to say. Album will be available on March the 4th. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. We're going to give you a chance in about 15 minutes or so to win your tickets for that final prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. We'll tell you how to win that. First, though, let's go to our girl Ashley Escada, senior editor of CNET, host of Tomorrow Daily. She is in Las Vegas. The Consumer Electronics Show has been going on all this week. Hey, Ashley.
The CES has been happening this week? What?
That was what you were supposed to be covering.
I've been playing Baccarat all week.
You overslept again? Hey, it was so fun. I know it seems like ancient history because it was so long ago, but you and I haven't spoken since Acoustic Christmas, but it was super fun to get a chance to hang out with you and your brother a little bit at the show. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. He had a blast. It was nice to repay the favor. He always takes me to fun stuff for his video game company. So
yeah, it was super fun. So, Ashley, let's talk business here because I feel like, and please tell me I'm wrong, but I feel like there has not been much buzz on CES this year compared to past years. What's it like there in Las Vegas?
I think you're probably right in that there's not so much frenzy in like the consumer section, so like just standard consumer like you and Allie and stuff. There's not a lot of buzz happening there because I think there's not that one big sort of whole wow product, but I feel like there's a lot of oh wow products and also oh weird products.
Okay. Well, I want to hear some of your picks. Let me ask you about the two things that I feel like I saw the most on social media this week. One was a TV screen that you could basically wrap up like a piece of paper. You could bend it. That seemed to be a thing that a lot of people were excited about. But I don't understand why I would ever need to do that to my television screen.
So this is a pretty interesting technology. I believe it's LG has the bendable screen. It's an OLED TV, and it's pretty amazing. It's an 18-inch rollable screen that you can literally roll up like a newspaper and take with you. One of the things that, and it's only 0.18 millimeters. It's so thin, this screen. And it's beautiful to look at. It's not, a few years ago, we saw some prototype bendable screens, and they were very milky. The actual image wasn't very good. This is the technology that everyone's kind of been waiting for in terms of rolling up displays.
But why do we want to do that?
So portability, would be really the biggest one. You could roll up your TV and take it with you anywhere you go.
Again, why would you do that?
But doesn't it have to be attached to your cable or your satellite, however you're getting your programming? Just because I pick my TV up and take it over to your house doesn't mean I can watch my shows on my TV.
Oh, but it does. If you have, let's say you take a lot of cord cutters. Let's say you take your small Apple TV or your Roku with you. You could totally do that. So many cord cutters now that really, a cable or satellite box isn't really necessary anymore. And even a lot of times you can log into your cable provider on your phone and you can actually push content to a screen. On top of that, one of the placards on one of the boxes had mentioned people reading this sort of digital newspaper, like rolling open their digital newspaper and having an update every day with new things as opposed to getting our standard paper every day. So pretty interesting stuff very futuristic looking. It's one of those things that you go, wow, gosh, that's super futuristic. And I don't know if we'd use it every day now, but maybe in, 10 years, it could really be something ubiquitous in society or something everybody has.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. We'll see where that one goes. And the other product that I saw a lot of, and I'm sure it's just because of the sex appeal, and I don't understand why we already have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch to do the same jobs, but why do the ladies need a smart bra, Ashley?
Honestly, Bean, I thought you were going to say VR porn because that was something that we tested on our stage yesterday. You're like,
oh, really?
The sex appeal. Yeah. That's going to be a really big industry. We put one of our guys, Brian Tong, up on stage, and he's very entertaining. And he, I mean, I think he was blushing the entire time and was kind of horrified and also intrigued by the idea of virtual reality pornography. But the smart bra is actually, it only measures your heart rate and your steps. So I also don't see a super deep appeal for this, but it also is one of those things where it's indicative of wearables being built into the fabric of clothes themselves as opposed to just being a separate device. And I think that's really exciting. To me, that the idea of that is really exciting, that someday we won't have to have a Fitbit or, you know, something like that. We would just basically have a small sensor that we could just put into any of our clothes, we could probably do that now, but a small enough sensor you'd be able to kind of just put into a little pocket in your clothes and be able to sort of track what's going on biometrically, which is pretty neat.
This is the voice of our friend Ashley Escada here on the Kevin DeBean Show from CNET, the host of Tomorrow Daily. She is talking about the Consumer Electronics Show going on in Las Vegas. How big are drones at this year's event?
Well, both in size and in proliferation across the show floor. Drones are everywhere at CES. My favorite drone is called the Yihong 184, and it is a gigantic drone that seats a person.
What?
You can get in it.
What?
This drone is huge, and it's
isn't
it's
that really, called a helicopter?
Right.
It is very reminiscent of a helicopter, a single person helicopter, but it's an autonomous vehicle. So the idea is the founder of the company or the designer of the Yihong 184 actually was taught to fly by two of his pilot friends who were later very tragically killed in a plane crash, a small plane crash.
Oh my!
And he wanted to design something that didn't require a pilot's license, that would be very safe. And so he designed this this amazing-looking thing. It looks like George Jetson's car. It's got, like, a bubble windshield type of thing. But instead of it being kind of a UFO design, instead of it being a full UFO at the bottom, it's got four arms with two rotors each on them, big rotors. And the idea is you get in, you put on your pilot seat belt, and you look at the touchscreen and you tap where you want to go of all of the places available for you to land, and it takes you there automatically.
So you don't have to fly it. You don't have to learn how to fly it.
Not at all.
What could go wrong?
The goal here, so I asked about that. I'm like, so what happens when something really bad goes wrong? Like, and I don't know how to fly this thing. And one of the PR reps said, no, we plan on having sort of these regional centers where we would have people standing by at all time, like keeping tabs on any that were in the sky. But this thing gets it can go up to 63 miles an hour. It has a 23-minute range, and it can fly as high as 11,000 feet, the PR rep said that it would likely probably be hovering anywhere between 500 and 1,000 feet. That is probably my favorite thing at CES. I always ask, when am I going to live the Jetsons? And I felt like that was a moment where I'm like, that's going to be, I need that for LA traffic really bad. I just want to
skip. Yeah, no kidding.
Different because I am terrified at the thought of this.
Come on,
God.
Allie.
No.
You could be a Jetson, Allie.
Nope. So do you envision, Ashley, theoretically, if you had one of these and you had it in your backyard, could you take off like a helicopter and come visit us at K-Rock in the parking lot and be here in 8 minutes or something like that and just land in the parking lot, walk in, do your business, and that would be your mode of transportation for the day? You miss all the highways?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's sort of the idea there. I mean, they might have to have some nearby kind of landing pad that's designated because it's autonomous, so it'd have to know maybe by GPS exactly where it needed to land. But
that's
the idea. And the other great thing about it is the founder of the company or the designer of this doesn't want it to be exclusive to billionaires. She's like, I don't want it to be a billionaire's toy. And their target price would be about $200,000, which is still expensive, but definitely well under the range that I thought it was when I first saw it. I said, okay.
Absolutely.
So not for billionaires? Okay, for millionaires then. And he was like, nope, $200,000. And that's their goal. And of course, as we all know, as time goes on, these things get cheaper and cheaper. So maybe someday, 50 years in the future, we might all have like a little personal drone to take us around.
And then if these things became popular, you'd really have a whole new level of air traffic controlling that would need to be going on to make sure that none of these things are running into each other above the skies.
Yeah, very much. And also, I mean, the FAA right now is working with companies like Amazon who would like to start drone delivery, which they've done testing on in the UK. So there's been talk of potentially having sort of height ranges. So these Amazon drones may only be able to fly between, let's say, 200 and 400 feet in the air while making a delivery. They can't go any higher or lower than that. So if you think of sort of vertical space lanes as opposed to horizontal lanes that we have on the freeway, it would kind of be like that, where you have sort of small air traffic kind of going at a lower altitude, and then you would have bigger and bigger aerial vehicles going at higher altitudes, which is pretty interesting, but who knows? I mean, who knows when we'll get there? I don't know.
It sounds like I was wrong when I thought there wasn't much buzz this year. It sounds like you found some pretty fun stuff this week, Ashley.
CES is, for me, one of the most exciting things that we do because it is geek Christmas. I mean, you get to see the future. It's a crystal ball in Las Vegas. You get to actually touch and try the future, and it's just so neat.
Follow Ashley on Twitter at her name, Ashley Escada. Her website is ashleyescada.com, of course, cnet.com, and look for her as the host of Tomorrow Daily. Great to catch up with you again. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon, my dear.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Here's what I hope people's takeaway will be about the Kevin and Bean Show when they think of it, Ralph, which is the show wasn't much to listen to, but they gave away a lot of cool stuff.
Right, exactly.
Right?
And really, that's what really matters is what do you get?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What
stuff what
did it for
do you?
You
get?
That's right.
That's what America's all about. Yeah. It's not about entertainment. This is a free show. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
But if you can make a little something on the side, if you can wet your beak a little bit, if you can get a little freebie, come on, that's worth the price of admission.
That's what we're trying to do, and that's why once again today, and every day this week we've had these, but today's the last one, the Ultimate Getaway Prize Package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Talking about airfare through Alaska Airlines, talking about lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, ski rentals, the whole deal. We're going to give you a chance to win that prize package right now. You'll have to earn it. We'll play a game with you just after 9 o'clock, but all are welcome. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to go skiing in Colorado, call the Kevin and Bean Show right now. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Friday.
A little reminder, Kevin Smith and I are going to be taking the stage for the first time in 2016 this weekend, Saturday night, at the Improv on Melrose. It's Hollywood Babylon.
No.
It's a good time. People have come out and they've really enjoyed themselves, which makes us...
I would really enjoy that right now.
Yes, you would. You would enjoy that. You would come out on a Saturday night and you'd have a good time at the Improv on Melrose with me and Kevin Smith doing all the news in popular culture, and we have some jokes and some songs, and it's a good time.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa airline before?
Can't see how that is germane to the conversation, Toto, but no, I've never flown Lufthansa. Go to improv.com and click on the Hollywood Babylon, the Hollywood Club, rather, and then you can see Hollywood Babylon. Get your tickets there. Come on out.
They still have that bartender there?
Oh, that bartender, the guy who makes the drinks?
He's been there for like
there.
30
that
years,
bartender,
though.
The one
he's
there?
Amazing.
Eddie?
Yes.
Yes.
He's still there?
Eddie's still there.
Oh,
does he know Swampy?
I think Eddie does know Swampy.
He pours a good drink.
He sure does. Oh, boy, do I love drinking. Thinking about it right now. Thinking about a big, tall pint glass full of Jack Daniels and Club Soda.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Friday morning at 9 is as good as any time to start thinking about drinking.
You know, why do people have to put some sort of time constraint on the act of drinking? You don't say, oh, geez, it's 6 a.m. I shouldn't be eating anything. Oh, I shouldn't have an egg. No, you don't worry about what time it is when you're eating food. Why can't all beverages be enjoyed at all times of the day and night? Right?
I don't know. There is a stigma from some people that suggest drinking before, I don't know, 5 in the afternoon maybe is an arbitrary number, but is problem drinking. I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, in your case, for instance, you work different hours than most people. 9 a.m. on a Friday is about your 5 a.m. on a Friday for regular people.
It's happy hour, 9 a.m.
Right.
And day drinking is the best.
It is the best.
You're
right, Ellie.
People that don't day drink don't get it. It's the best.
Nothing better than just a midday buzz.
Right?
Just stumbling out of some hole-in-the-wall bar in Hollywood with the just sun just shining right in your
sunlight.
Eyes. You're like, what the hell? Oh, I forgot. It's only 1 a.m. It's only 1 p.m.
Best. Passed out by 3.
I go home.
That's why you take so many naps, Ellie?
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, they're vodka-induced. Hey, do you miss Deadwood like I do? I loved Deadwood on HBO. That was a great series. Short-lived. Much, much too short for my taste. Well, you may or may not know that currently the Television Critics Association winter session is going on where all the networks and cable channels
get up and talk about their programming, and HBO has announced a Deadwood reunion movie. President of HBO said they've talked to series creator David Milch, who has been given the green light to resurrect the short-lived Western series. Ian McShane famously starred in the series, and boy, I just love the hell out of that. And I
Bravo. Bravo.
But it's coming back. I take it you didn't watch, Bean? You were not a Deadwood
fan? I did not. I'm sorry. That's what I missed. I heard real good things about it. There's a lot of saucy language in that show, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. David Milch is a fan of The Curse.
Yeah.
And he sprinkled them liberally throughout Deadwood. Ian McShane, by the way, is just one of my favorite actors.
Great in everything.
Last season of Ray Donovan, he was...
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was so good.
He was the big bad on that. And boy, he was terrific in it. Here's more good news. There's going to be a documentary about Michael Jackson. Finally, someone is taking on Michael Jackson and shining some light on an artist who really didn't get much attention during his career.
Who is this?
His name was Michael Jackson, Allie.
Okay.
He originally performed with his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there were five of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
And then he broke off from the group to have a fairly successful solo career.
Huh.
What songs did he do? The name doesn't come to mind anything.
Jesus Juice? That was one of them. That was one of his big hits.
Got it.
We're Just Sleeping Together?
Mm.
And by that I mean Just Sleeping was another big hit, I think.
Let me write you a $100 million check.
Whose Tidy Whiteys Are These? I think was another one of his smash hit singles. it is a documentary from Motown to Off the Wall, which is sort of used as the barometer of Michael Jackson's breakthrough as a solo artist, was that smash hit album from 1979. And the interesting part is it's directed by a gentleman named Spike Lee.
Great.
It will premiere at the Sundance Film Festival on January the 24th, but you'll be able to see it on Showtime on February 5th, and then it'll be available on DVD and Blu-ray. And there will be a reissue of the album Off the Wall as well in February 26th.
I know Thriller gets all the hype because it was the best-selling album of all time.
And it had Vincent Price on it.
Right,
of course. That's why people love it.
But Off the Wall, man, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, mm-hmm. and Working Day and Night, and
Pretty Young Thing.
Pretty Young Thing, She's Out of My Life. I mean, that was a great album, too.
She's out of my life. She's out of my life.
Wow. That was real bad.
I hated that song.
Really?
Oh, it's the worst.
And then he cries at the end.
Oh, it's the worst thing on that album.
I was so cavalier. It's out of my life.
Worst song ever, Bean. Why would you even name that?
Really? I thought it was great.
It blows. It's the worst. And American Idol's back for its final season.
Go ahead.
Forbes magazine has released a list of the highest earning American Idol musicians of 2015 over this past calendar year. Of course, several stars have been born from the American Idol television franchise. here's who made the money over the past year. Scotty McCreery and Kelly Clarkson tied in fifth place.
That's a surprise. Wow.
$4 million is what they earned in 2015. Phil Phillips.
Out of my life.
Philip Phillips made $5 million. He's fourth on the list. Third.
She's out of my life.
Chris Daughtry.
Really?
$6 million he made in 2015.
$6 million.
I love Chris. He's a good guy. He's a buddy of mine. $6 million. Carrie Underwood. Second. At $8 million. I'm getting this whole song just in one channel in my ear. It's very disturbing. Very frustrating.
Sorry.
Who is the number one earning American Idol? Former American Idol contestant. Number one earning for 2015.
I don't.
Not Carrie Underwood. Not Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. I'm going to say, and this is just a guess based on the Queen tour, I'm going to say Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert is right. Wow. Due to his performances with Queen, he earned $10 million in 2015.
Wow. Whoa. This is for a guy who didn't win American Idol. He earned $10 million this year.
Wow. That's right?
And his next project apparently is going to be a cover of She's Out of My Life.
So, I was so careless. Now the way that it stands.
How could you hate this song? This is a great song, Ralph.
This is the song you put on when you draw the bath, you lower yourself in, you get out the razor blade, and you just take the long nap.
But he's so sad because she's out of his life.
I wish you were out of my life. Today's celebrity birthday, Stephen Hawking, 74 years old. Robbie Krieger is 70. David Bowie, 69. R. Kelly is 49. Sarah Polley celebrates her 37th birthday. And Gabby Hoffman, star of Transparent, 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah. All right, party people. Here it is, the final ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Allie, are you much of a winter sports girl?
I actually lived in Park City for many years and snowboarded and skied. I love it.
All day long on the news, I've been seeing them up at Mountain High talking about all the big snow they've been getting and how people are so excited. And you got some world-class skiing out there in Colorado, especially here at Crested Butte. We got Alaska Airlines round trip airfare, tickets from LAX to Crested Butte, Colorado, lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, ski rentals. It can all be yours. We're playing a game we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort.
Enthusiastic singing from DJ Omar Khan there. Well done. All right. Total Recall is a game that is a lot of fun, maybe not to play. Not so much fun for the contestant on the phone who has to come up with five things in 10 seconds. But I think it's a lot of fun to listen to. To listen to people struggle to try to come up with the topic.
As so you're yelling in your car at
yes.
them.
Yes. Exactly. Because it's really easy when you're not the person on the phone.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you the topic. All you have to do is name five things in that category in 10 seconds, and you will go into the drawing to win this trip to Colorado. Let's go in order today. Chip, we'll start with line one. Jason will be our first contestant. He is in La Puente. Hey, Jason, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? This is actually my second time calling this week, so hopefully I win.
What were you on before this week or earlier this
week? Take another run.
What did you call for last time?
The tickets, the ski resort tickets, but it was just name them a fact.
Okay. All right. So you didn't win before, so you're trying it again. All right. So good luck to you, my friend. I hope you win. The Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort is on the Crested Butte Mountain in Colorado, but of course there are lots of famous mountains in the world. Your category, Jason, is just that. Can you name for me five famous mountains anywhere in the world? You've got 10 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
Okay. The Rocky Mountains, the Long Peaks, the Capitol Peaks, Mount Everest.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, Mount Everest was good. Mount McKinley, Mount Rushmore, Mount Rainier. Nice try. I'm sorry you didn't win this time, but thank you for playing and thank you for listening, okay. Jason.
Thanks.
See, it's a tough game. Yeah. Let's go to Paul. Our first Paul on the line is from Garden Grove, and he's up next. Hey, Paul.
Hold on.
Please hold.
Phones are not working out.
My phone's not disengaging. Hold on.
Her phone is not disengaging.
There you go.
I like Robot Chip. Hey, Paul, sorry about that. You with us now?
Yes, I think I am.
All right. The Colorado Avalanche has been a popular NHL franchise in Denver for the past 20 seasons. By the way, I forgot that they actually have won the Stanley Cup a couple of times, which I barely remembered. You've got 10 seconds on the clock. I want for you to name me five other professional hockey teams that are located in the United States. No Canadian teams. Five other U.S. hockey teams in 10 seconds. Go.
LA Kings, Washington Capitals, Anaheim Ducks, Chicago Blackhawks, New Jersey Devils.
You are my man, Paul. Look at that. With extra time on the clock. Congratulations.
How can I get that category? That was awesome.
That is very lucky. You are one step closer to winning the trip. Hang on. You are in the drawing. Let's go to Tommy up next. He's on line three from Los Angeles. Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
Are you a skier or a snowboarder?
I'm a snow lover.
Oh, fantastic. All right, well, here's your question for Total Recall. Colorado is famously the only state in history to turn down a chance to host the Winter Olympics. Back in 1976, the games were planned to be held in Denver, but Colorado voters said no, they would cost too much and bring too many people into town. In 10 seconds, can you name for me five official Winter Olympic competition sports? Five Winter Olympic competition sports in 10 seconds. Good luck to you.
Slalom. Bobsled. This is harder than it sounds.
It is, right? Allie, which ones came to mind?
I would have gone hockey, first off.
Hockey.
Speed skating.
Curling.
Border cross.
Luge. Yeah.
Snowboard cross.
Biathlon. There's a lot of them.
Board cross.
Nice try. Thank you, Tommy. Not so much from you, Allie. I apologize you didn't win. Let's try Travis in Whittier. He's up next on line four.
Hey, what's up,
guys? Travis? How you doing, man?
Woo, let's do this.
How you been doing on hold? I know you've been playing along with your fellow competitors. How you been doing?
I've been doing okay. You know, the last one I think I got, the hockey one I got, you know.
Okay.
Just ready for the curveball you're about to throw me.
All right, Paul is in the drawing already. Let's see if you can join in there, Travis. Total Recall. Usually when people think about snow, they think about wintertime, and that means Christmas. Here's the curveball you were anticipating. Please name any five Christmas or holiday songs in 10 seconds. There are hundreds of them. Five Christmas or holiday songs in 10 seconds. Good luck.
I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, Jingle Bells. Oh, man, this is hard. Noel.
You're going to, hit yourself in the head when you start thinking of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and Christmas Wrapping and All I Want for Christmas Is You. I'm so sad for you. But thank you for playing anyway,
Travis. Thanks for letting me play, guys.
You bet. All right, let's meet our other Paul. He is Paul S. He is on line five, and he's out in Riverside. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. I think you're our final contestant on Total Recall. You ready to have a go at it?
Just give it a best shot.
All right. Adolf Coors came to America from Germany and founded the Coors Brewing Company back in 1873 on the banks of the Clear Creek in Golden, Colorado. As you know, Coors and Coors Light are from there. They're still very popular around the world, and they're among the many famous beer brands that you can choose from. In 10 seconds, please name for me five other beer brands. Good luck.
Okay, you got Miller, we have Bud Light, we have Corona, we have Tecate, we have Red Hot.
Yeah, there's Guinness, and there's Sam Adams, and there's Heineken, and there's Beck's, and they all come to mind as soon as you're not on the clock. All right, it's either going to be, thank you very much for the call, Paul S., it's either going to be Paul W. in Garden Grove or Garden Grove's Paul W. Only one, though, can win the trip to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado, including airfare from Alaska Airlines. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
It is Paul W. in Garden Grove.
No way!
Yes!
Paul, how about that? How about that for a way to start the weekend, huh?
That is so awesome. You guys are great. I've been listening to you forever. I'm a longtime skiing fan. I cannot believe I got that category.
I am so happy for you. Have a great time in Colorado. Thanks for playing Total Recall.
Oh, yeah! Total Recall.
Love that band. Great live act, too. Cage the Elephant. That was Shake Me Down here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. It's 9:27. I'm excited about your friend, man buying lottery tickets in Las Vegas. I'm excited about him.
He's great.
I think we need a little of that audio.
Absolutely.
He's your new favorite person.
Yeah, he's the hero we didn't know we needed.
You mentioned yesterday. Yesterday at this time, we were talking about the lottery and all of our plans for winning the lottery. And then I think at one point you also said, well, get used to a couple of days of people on the news being interviewed standing in line to buy lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. And I understand the thinking behind this from the news organization's point of view, which is, well, it's a big story. It's a, you know, it's a $700-800 million jackpot, whatever it's going to end up being tomorrow night. People are interested in it. So I guess we got to do something. But the thing that they got to do and that they do every time, and what you were kind of making fun of, is the exact same story every single time.
Every
multiple
time.
Times a year, year after year after year, they go to a place and they, hey, what are you going to do with the money? Hey, you know, the odds aren't very good. You're going to win. hey, how'd you pick your numbers? I mean, all stuff that everyone either already knows or doesn't care about.
Yeah, there will never be a different answer.
Right.
Or will there?
Well, there was in this case. But there also will never be – we will never – here's the thing. Hear my whole thing.
Okay.
I will never watch a news story on the lottery of them interviewing people in line and learn something that I didn't know before.
Right.
It does not help me – if I'm a viewer and I'm tuning into the news to learn something, to watch the news –
well, that's your first mistake.
A better sense of what's going on in the world in which I live. I'm not going to get it from that piece.
Mm-mm.
So in my mind, it's infuriating. Because
yeah.
It's a colossal waste of time. It's just, hey, let's fill 3 minutes on the news talking about a thing that's boring, that doesn't help anybody.
It's exactly what it is. It's filler.
It's absolutely filler. So we go to Channel 5, and I know how excited you were about this yesterday. This is in Las Vegas, and they are at a place where people are lined up. And I guess I didn't see the throw to the reporter on the scene, but I guess it's a location, I imagine, where somebody mm-hmm. had bought a winning ticket in the past, and that's why. And by the way, look – just because a place has sold a winning ticket before, it doesn't have any more chance of selling another one.
But that's 10 seconds that you just filled right there saying people have won at this location.
Right, but don't go to that location and wait in a 40, you know, a 4-hour line to buy a ticket when you can buy the exact same ticket someplace else. Everything about this is – I'm now getting angry. So here she is on the scene in Las Vegas at the convenience store.
Lines are not only going in and out in the inside of the store, but when we got here, it went around the building and then made a U in the parking lot. They say at noon, it was even longer. The wait was 2 hours and 30 minutes long. So quite some excitement over here and a lot of people standing in line.
Oh, there's a lot of excitement there, it sounds like. By the way, listen to how excited this lady is. Do you think she's really into this, or is there TV fakery going on, Allie?
She was adorable, first of all. Just cute as a button reporter. But yeah, you're talking to people that, A, don't want to talk to you at all in that line. There's no excitement in that line. They're miserable, and they don't want to talk to you. So she's taking it all in, and she's putting out so much excitement for the viewer.
It's a boring chore for these people in the convenience store to have to wait in this line to buy a ticket, right?
Absolutely.
I asked them what they were going to do with the money. A lot of them said, give them to friends, give them to money, give them to charity. All answers that I like, you know, put them in the savings.
Again,
I know.
What are you going to do with the money is a ridiculous question because it's $1 billion. And you know what I'm going to do with the money? Everything. I'm going to do the – yeah, I'm going to buy a house. Yeah, I'm going to give some to my parents. Yeah, I'm going to give some away. Yeah, I'm going to blow some. I mean, isn't that every human's answer for what they're going to do with the money? What does she expect people to say?
Well, Bean, you're getting angry.
I am.
And I understand that.
Okay.
But it's all going to come right around for you.
Okay.
We're here at the line where people are doing it the old-fashioned way. They're just filling out bubbles here. I want to turn some of these people around and ask you guys, sir, can I ask you what your lucky numbers are?
I'm going to pick 14, 24, 2, 7, and 15.
All right. May I ask why that's a good question?
It's not.
What are your lucky numbers? What am I supposed to do with this information?
Oh, my God. Those are mine, too.
Why do I care what his lucky numbers are? And if those numbers were lucky, he would have already won the goddamn lottery and he wouldn't be standing in this store. Right? How lucky can these numbers be?
Wow.
And there's no follow-up on that. Why are they your lucky numbers? Have they ever won anything for you before? Then they're not your lucky numbers. Sit down! That's what I want to hear her say. But that's not what she's saying. All right, let's hear some more.
Those are your lucky numbers. Can I tell you what? Do you know your chances of winning?
By the way, those are your lucky numbers is what she repeated back
well,
to him. After
yeah.
he just answered the question, mm-hmm. what are your lucky numbers? That's what she said back to him. Good use of time. All right, do you know what the odds are? Is there anyone in that line who doesn't know the odds are long to win the lottery?
No.
Good question, then.
Slim to none.
Slim to none. You're right. Let me tell you, it's one out of 292 million. What do you think about that?
And what does she want him to do with that information? Now get out of line? This is BS, man. I didn't know that. I thought I put in a dollar and I win 100 million. What does she want him to do with that? I hate everybody involved in this story.
I knew it.
You knew it. Your numbers are lucky, though. Am I right?
I hope so.
Can I ask you, if you won all the money, what would you do with it?
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Oh, okay. That's not good. We were hoping for a different answer. That's probably not the answer that we're looking for.
Why? That's the only thing that's been interesting in this entire story.
We were hoping for a different answer, one that we've heard for years. But thank you, sir, for giving the best one ever, is what I would have said, and then I would have kissed him right on the mouth.
And he would have earned it. The hooker, finally, someone is honest. It says hookers and cocaine is what I'm going to spend the money with.
All right, you guys, I did speak to some people earlier that said, you know, this line is long, but waiting in it was worth it because it's at least worth all the memories. Why is the jackpot so big? Well,
why is it worth memories? All the memories? What memories are you getting from this? Why does this woman say so many dumb things?
Oh,
what memories?
Spirit.
Why is the jackpot so big? I don't know. Nobody's won it in 3 months. Maybe that's what. Tell me something I don't know, lady.
Nobody has won since November 4th. And if you don't win this time either, if nobody wins this time, there's always the drawing this Saturday, you guys.
Wait, what?
Wait.
If nobody wins this time, there's always the drawing Saturday? That's
but
when
that's
the drawing
the
is.
That's the drawing.
So. She fell apart at the end.
She was flustered. All that cocaine and hooker talk.
I think so. I think it was too much for her. All right, so good luck, everybody.
And now, a moment with Bean.
What were you on before this week, or earlier this
That was a moment with Bean.
What was that? What were you even asking? Let me hear that one again, please.
And now, a moment with Bean.
What were you on before this week, or earlier this
That was okay. A moment with Bean.
That was our contestant who, for the second time this week, was playing to win the trip to Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to ask, because I didn't know that he had called previously on the contest, why did you call us earlier in the week, is what I was trying to ask. Because he said this was the second time he was on the air this week. So I was just trying to figure out what was the reason he called last time. But I perhaps could have asked it differently.
A whole bunch of different words could have been used.
Yeah. I am unlike Donald Trump. I do not have the best words like he does.
I have the best words.
That's what he says. All right, 9:45, time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on Golden Globes Weekend in Hollywood. What's going on, Ralph?
Golden Globes Weekend in Hollywood?
Well, it's a kind of a big deal in the entertainment world, right?
You get a little envelope from the foreign press.
No.
It says slidey little thing saying, hey, talk about our Globes.
Well, it's the whole weekend.
It is.
Gearing
up. Is it not Golden Globes weekend? Am I mistaken about that?
It's just an award show. It's going to be on Sunday. It's not a whole weekend. It's not a national holiday.
Okay.
It's just some foreign dude saying, yeah, we like that movie the best.
I wish they'd have that guy host.
That'd be awesome.
Speaking of the weekend, tomorrow night is Saturday night. What are you doing?
I'm watching Chris Stapleton and... Mr. Driver.
That was completely
on
rhetorical.
SNL.
Completely rhetorical. 10 p.m. Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon live for the first time in 2016 on the hallowed stage of the Improv Comedy Club on Melrose. We'd love to have you come out and join us. We have a pretty good time. You can go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, and buy your tickets there.
No!
So you're saying there's a chance?
No!
Last night I was watching Shades of Blue, even though Bean poo-pooed it. It looks like I wasn't alone. Ratings are in.
I did poo-poo it without knowing anything about it, though.
You sure did. I really enjoyed it, and the ratings were in. Looks like a lot of people did. Shades of Blue, first time in years NBC has won its time slot in the 10 p.m. Thursday battle. So congratulations. 7 million viewers tuned in to watch Shades of Blue. It actually bested the audience of its lead-in, The Blacklist. And
that's a surprise.
Yeah, actually got more viewers than Blacklist and held them and increased through the course of its hour. So it's all good signs for the first episode, at least, of Shades of Blue. I'm a little concerned because they say it's the first time since 2012 that an NBC show had done so well in the 18 to 49 demographic. Awake. The Awake premiere was the last time it did so well. And, you know, Awake had...
That legendary classic TV show?
After that. Southland also was a record holder prior to this one.
Oh.
And The Marriage Ref. So those are all NBC shows that it performed just as well as those long-running popular hits.
Well, America was wrong to not keep watching Southland.
Damn skippy they
were. Absolutely. One of the all-time greats.
Still missed that show.
Me too.
Guys,
hey, Ralph, yes. I'm glad you brought up the Blacklist, because I was very, very critical of that show in the first season because Agent Keene is the worst FBI agent
you
in history.
No pretty girl can
nope.
be in law enforcement.
They can't actually be smart nope. and good at their jobs if they are hot.
Nope,
that is Bean's thinking.
One or the other. Ugly girls can be in law enforcement, yep. but hot girls just have to sit there and make Bean chocolate milk milkshakes.
I know that it's easy to draw that conclusion. That's not what I'm saying at all. Agent Keene was
a
terrible
theme.
Agent because she constantly put herself and other agents in danger with boneheaded decisions. She never got appropriate backup. She didn't
Once
follow
again,
procedures.
She
was
a
terrible
rookie
agent.
Field agent. Had never done it before.
Who
she was
a terrible
profiler.
At it. Okay. But here's the only reason I bring it up is, and I think I'm with you on this, Rob, is what about a show that completely turns itself on its ear in its second season? It becomes a different show where she's on the run with Red. And it was really good all season long, and it's continued to be. I mean, I think this season has been miles ahead of season one.
Nope, not miles ahead, just as good. There are
really?
Equal,
I thought it was way
equally
better.
Quality,
way better.
In terms of quality, equal.
I'm just impressed both. That they solved my big problem with that show.
Well,
and
that's
I think
what
turned
their
it
goal
into a
was,
much
I'm
bigger
sure. Game. How can we make this more palatable for Bean? They
make
asked
the
themselves.
Viewers happy. That's what they're trying
the
to do.
The viewers were plenty happy, except for you.
I like it. By the way,
she's too pretty. She's too pretty.
I like her. I like her as a blonde too. I'll tell you that.
See, this is.
I just. Yeah.
Heard you guys talking about the lottery moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
After I win this weekend, I want you to know I'm going to cut you off a little slice. A little
that
something,
is very kind.
A little parting gift.
How
I'm
much?
Give you, I'm going to give you. I don't know. You'll open the envelope and find out. You'll see.
Delightful.
You should put it on the wheel. We should spin a wheel for how much Ralph's going to give us out of his lottery bonus.
No, because then Beer Mug will get screwed. Beer Mug probably won't get his payoff because Bean refuses to send him the gift certificate that he was
Look,
promised.
Look, I sent everybody the gift certificates before Christmas.
Right.
He was the only one who claimed he didn't receive his. Everybody else got theirs.
He is and, a dick.
He is a dick. And since he brought that to my attention, I have had it reset and it has been received. So Mugs did get paid.
Oh. So you couldn't All screw right, Mugs out the way you initially had planned?
What are you going to give us when you win the $800 million?
I'm telling you, I'm just going to cut you up a little slice. Because first of all, you don't get the $800.
Right.
You get, what, half of that?
Yeah.
Right?
So, right.
Like,
yeah, after
know,
taxes.
$25, $30 each? Well,
out
else.
Of your $400
wow.
million?
Yeah.
Get yourself something nice. Buy yourself a meal.
You're horrible.
There's that possibility.
But would each of us get 25, or depending on how much you liked us, you'd give us more? Like, Beam would get
the
maybe
range
30
would be 25 to 30.
Okay.
That would be the range of
okay.
gifts. $25 to $30.
All right.
So it would fall somewhere in that range.
I have a question for you guys, and of course we don't have time to get into it at all here. But that is, what responsibility do you have to give money to friends, coworkers, and family if you in fact win a huge lottery?
Zero.
For reals, though.
Family, I think you feel obligated. I would. I would give my sister some. I'd give my wife's family a little mm-hmm. something. I'd give my dad something. I would make sure everybody was taken care of. If I had $400 million, I absolutely would do that.
Yeah.
Allie, and you would certainly. I sense you would do the same. Your parents would be hooked
family,
up, right?
My family, absolutely. My friends,
okay.
Friends
some more
coworkers.
Than others.
Friends,
yeah.
Some friends.
Yeah, some friends,
help,
for
though.
Sure.
Yeah. And then coworkers there... right off the board. No shot.
Nope.
Nothing.
But there are friends of yours, Ralph, that you would give a large sum of money to just because you guys are friends?
Yes.
You would share with your winnings with them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
For example, one of my best friends lives in New York. He's a Broadway actor. Sometimes, you know, long stretches go between gigs.
Mm-hmm.
His wife's a school teacher. They have two beautiful young daughters, and they live in an apartment there on the island of Manhattan. And I know they struggle from time to time. I would give them a certain amount to keep them comfortable so that he could pursue his acting career and the kids could be taken care of and they wouldn't have to worry so much about
Not
money.
That burden
wouldn't
anymore.
Have that burden.
That's
I would,
nice.
I would do that. I would take care of them.
Bean, I find it so weird that you don't understand how
oh, really?
we would help out friends and family.
Yeah, Bean is already cutting people out of his life and denying them anything. You find that hard to believe, huh? Yeah,
I mean, well... as I explained earlier in the week, I'm ghosting all of you,
right.
So
right.
it obviously goes without saying there will be any money coming your
that
way.
That is what we. That is.
That
our,
is the.
That is our payout.
That's your reward,
right?
That
you can't
okay.
even put a price on that.
Okay,
you disappearing from our lives. That's priceless in the words.
So
of
if someone comes
commercial.
To you and says, "All right, you got a choice. Bean just won the lotto. He's got the Powerball, the $400 million. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you $25,000 cash, but remain in contact with you for the rest of your life. Or you can say no to the money and you'll never hear from him again.
Boy, are you putting a low, low price on the value that would be not having to deal with you any longer.
Dean, you should have got a million.
Yeah, you're 25 grand. But Bean is so cheap, he couldn't even bring himself hypothetically, Allie, to offer up $1 million. Even if he knew it would never happen, he couldn't form the words of giving away $1 million to come out of his mouth. There's no way he could ever make that happen. No way.
All right, I think we're all learning a lot about ourselves here.
You can't even say those words.
Oh.
Anyway, I love this list. You know, the odds of winning the Powerball are not good.
I've heard that.
A news story.
One in 293 million, apparently, are your odds.
Mm-hmm.
Here are your odds, your better odds of things happening. Okay? Dying in an amusement park accident.
Ooh.
One in 72 million.
Wow.
Getting struck by lightning, as we know, is one in 700,000. That's a pretty good deal. Getting pregnant from a one-night stand. One in 20.
Right.
Right?
I mean,
I found this number surprising.
Allie thought it was closer to one in five, by the way, based on her experience.
Dating a supermodel.
What?
One in 7,000.
No way.
No way.
No way.
Sit down.
Sit down, Ralph.
Getting dealt a royal flush and a hand of poker. One in 655,000.
Wow.
Dying from a flesh eating bacteria. One in a million.
Oh.
All those events much, much more likely than you winning the Powerball. So that's why you're all going to be so shocked when I come in here with my envelopes and you see, ooh, $27. Woo, he likes me.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
You're not getting one.
You're going to keep your job or not keep your job?
Because
Dave says he'll keep his job but just have a crappy attitude.
Well, what would change then? Right. I'm glad to hear that money won't change Dave at all. No, I got to get some sleep. I couldn't keep this job if I was that rich.
No one would blame you, Ralph.
Just couldn't do it. I got to get some sleep. I'm going to die.
Or could you move somewhere that you could still do the job at a different hour?
There you go.
Right?
Change time zones.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, there's an idea.
All right.
Bean's still there, though, right?
Yeah.
In this dream?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's send her home, shall we? Today's celebrity birthdays. Stephen Hawking, 74 years old today. Doors guitarist Robbie Krieger is 70. David Bowie, 69. R. Kelly, 49 years old today. Sarah Polley. She's lovely and talented. She's 37. Gabby Hoffman, star of Transparent, is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. And I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Enjoyed it very much this week. We'll come back Monday with an all-new show, including Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Matt Bellany is going to be with us. He, of course, from The Hollywood Reporter. We'll have the complete recap of the Golden Globes for you. You can go and hit that song if you want there, Chip. We also got Clippers tickets for you that you can win. And a Kevin and Bean listener wants some very serious advice from us. We'll try to give it to him Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fire beer mug.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Roll another one.
What if your name was Asshore?
Just like the other one.
Take requests?
Sure.
Please.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Can I ask you, if you want all the money, what would you do with it?
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Oh, okay, that's not good. We were hoping for a different answer. That's probably not the answer that we're looking for.
Roll.
Does it disturb you that so many people hate you?
This one seems to be about sentiments.
What's the most high you've ever been?
I don't have another sense.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
But don't bogart that joint.
That's not brown rice.
Just pass it around.
Hashtag kill Bean.
And
Now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
This is it for us. Our journey's over.
Our journey's over now, because I probably won't see you, because I got to get to work and you got to go be fine as hell.
Goodbye.
Anyway, I'm out of here. Head down Fairfax and try to dodge the potholes, which one of the potholes cost me over $400 already. I wish they'd fix Fairfax Avenue. I don't know what's going on.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Good night, and stay alive.